welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. This is the time to call in if you need to talk. Teresa Strasser, good morning.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Danny Bonaducci, good morning.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, big old Brian.
No!
So Brian mentioned only seconds ago before...
Seconds ago, because I just heard this.
We went on the air that he has a way to get out of a ticket.
I don't know how or why this worked, but it did. So a few weeks ago, I was spending the night at my girlfriend's place and parked. She lives in Beverly Hills, and apparently in lots of parts of Beverly Hills, they have no overnight parking. Mm-hmm. But it's very poorly labeled. The sign for no overnight parking was 200 yards down the street.
Yeah, there are towns, there are places in this city where they don't have one sign in the residential area. You know, most of the time you'll see a sign that says... No parking, street cleaning, Thursday sure. Between noon and whatever. There are places in the city that have three signs stacked on top of each other. I mean, it is more reading than I do in a week. And I'm standing out in the sidewalk. I'm literally using my finger up in the air trying to drag it under the lines. And I can't process it. There's no parking between noon and 2 p.m. on Thursdays. That for street cleaning.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Tuesday, so I'm fine there.
Because I figure you're actually remembering these signs. That's how I knew that was street cleaning.
Only people with a Class 3 permit can park here between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. weeknights. And it's like, and then there's a third one, and I have to go back up to the top when I'm done reading the first one to make sure there's something I didn't miss. So, yes, Brian was in...
Oh, go ahead.
What was the area? Was it that kind of area?
Similar, but what it was, it actually is more negligent on their part. It's a long street with parking meters on one side, and the only signs say no parking, 1 hour parking, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. or something like that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no signs to be found. Park there, get up in the morning at 4 o'clock, and I come into work, and there's a ticket on my car saying, sorry, no overnight parking. It's a $45 ticket. And apparently Beverly Hills, the way to contest these things, it says right there, is to write a letter, go on the website, submit your reason why you shouldn't be held liable for this ticket. I go on the website, I fill out a form saying, listen, this the only sign saying no overnight parking was so far away. And then yesterday, about 3 weeks later, I got a letter in the mail. We've received your inquiry and conducted an administrative review with the above citation, blah, 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 blah. There's no overnight parking. As you may not have been aware of the city's overnight parking prohibition, the city of Beverly Hills will dismiss your citation as a one-time courtesy.
Your verbiage in your letter must have been very good for this purpose.
It was pretty brief because I submitted it online. The city of Beverly Hills has an online thing where it's like, give you a reason. I said, the only sign that says anything about overnight parking was at least 200 yards away at the end of the opposite block, and I couldn't, no reasonable person couldn't see this.
So one-time courtesy, which means they're admitting that the streets are poorly labeled.
I'm thinking so,
but now you know.
Now I know.
Yeah. And there's a picture of Bald Brian in their bank.
Because they're waiting on you now,
Mr. If they get another one from you, they're not going to accept it again.
Probably not, but now I know I'm not going to park on that side of the street overnight.
Boy, I tell you, life in the fast lane. Brian,
I saved $45.
I tell you, I've said it before. He plays fast and he plays loose.
Yeah.
One day it's going to catch up with you, my friend.
Yeah. No, they say die young and leave a beautiful corpse, and you're half screwed already.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you let him slide with the girlfriend thing.
I know. I didn't want to. Promise I wouldn't bring Tim up anymore. Just let it go with the girlfriend.
Right. It's in he and Tim's circle of privacy.
That's right. That's
point
right.
is the opposite of, say, it's like Rape Bank in Santa Monica and actually get out of tickets. If you're
right.
Polite
Rape
about
Bank,
it.
Meaning Burbank, which they try to screw you. But again.
I thought he said Rape Bank.
He did.
I was like, is that like the Spank Bank? I've never heard of it.
I just started calling Burbank Rape Bank because
you always saying Rape Bank.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because every person I talk to gets a ticket. My first question is, where'd you get it in Burbank? And they go, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did get it in Burbank. I'd been pulled over. I used to work in Burbank, and so did Kimmel. Kimmel got pulled over by the same traffic cop multiple times on like 2-3 days in a row. Yeah, I got a jaywalking ticket for walking, as I've said many times, inside the crosswalk at a signal. The guy said, I said, how can you write me a jaywalking ticket? I just walked across the intersection when the light was green. He said, yeah, but the thing was blinking. The thing was blinking red. I said, yeah, but I just walked across. I'm standing on the other side. The signal never changed. Yeah, but you stepped off the curb when the thing was blinking. Yeah. Yeah, oh, Burbank is the biggest chicken-ass ticket-riding town in, I would, you know, I always say, sometimes I'll go, well, I can't say in the world, but yes, I can say in the world, because there's certain things that other countries don't even have.
Right.
Like, you know,
you can park your camel almost anywhere and you're cool.
Yeah, jaywalking doesn't exist. There's probably no word for jaywalking in the rest of the world.
In Japanese, because they, A, they're just cross anywhere, I would think. But B, if they shouldn't, they would not from the time that I've been there.
And that's that's Japan. I mean,
China.
When you think about the rest of the world, there's probably only a handful of cities or a handful of countries that even know what it is.
Right.
We, as Americans, must lead the world in chicken-ass jaywalking tickets. And then the head of that chicken-ass jaywalking ticket spear is Burbank.
Right.
They write more than anyone else. So they rape their citizens is what they do. Right. So I just like calling it Rape Bank. That's all.
Well, I so don't want to get involved in that, but I will anyway. I've heard it's harder to get out of a ticket in Glendale than anywhere else.
Oh, Glendale and Rape Bank are also part
of that. Yeah,
Rapedale and Rape Bank, they're both the same. They're right next to each other. They're the same place. And look, listen, cops from Glendale or Burbank.
to Adam Carolla, I want you to listen carefully to not Danny Bonucci for sure.
I don't.
Adam Carolla.
Now, everyone goes, oh, leave the cops alone, leave the cops alone. Everyone's a hero. Ever since 9/11, everyone's a hero. Everyone's a hero. I don't give you my full vitriol because you're just pawns. You got into police work, I imagine, for other reasons than to rape the public.
Yeah.
I imagine when you decide you want to be a cop, you do it somewhere around the age of 12 or 13. Most cops... I imagine if you interviewed most cops and said, when did you know you wanted to be a cop? They wouldn't say, when my father-in-law kicked me out of his used furniture factory when I was 26.
Right. Yeah.
Most would say, I was watching T.J. Hooker when I was 12, and I knew then I wanted to be a cop. Or whatever show you were watching, whatever TV show. Hell, maybe you just saw a cop in action in your town. But somewhere when puberty starts to kick in, that's when those decisions are made, for most. So I assume when most of you made the decision, and this is, you know, the guys working in Rape Bank and Rapedale. Is that the other one?
Yeah. Glendale? Yeah.
I imagine you didn't get into it to write chicken-ass tickets to taxpayers. I'm imagining it.
Yeah,
so if I were you, I would either get out or I would tell my supervisor, hey, is there anything other direction we can go here? Like, you know, I just go into the supervisor's office. I don't know, the sergeant, the desk sergeant, and say, okay, we've been raping the folks of the city for going on 25 years. Maybe we go another direction. Maybe we start focusing on crime or something like that. That's just a crazy idea. Just putting it out there. Suggestion box was full.
The good news is you're fired.
Don't answer now. I'm going to go out and rape the citizenship of Burbank and Rapedale. But just do your thing. Do your thing. And then maybe we can talk on Friday in the lounge.
Okay,
we'll
now,
just see what you think.
We'll go small steps. So if right now we're Rape Bank and Rapedale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first step, I would think, to weaning off some of the heinousness of this crime would be to use a condom. And for that purpose, I would have to say the equal value of that is to not give the officer no discretion. Remember, he said he used to say, I've already started writing.
Yeah.
Right. But if you could get out of it, he could still, maybe with a nod, knowing you could get out. Now it's this electronic box that the second he touches it, he or she is now accountable to write a ticket in that spot.
For parking?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not on parking.
Oh, you're not on parking. You got parking, right, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But I'm on the jaywalking and that kind of stuff. But parking, we can lump this in.
Okay.
Although, the reason I don't say that is because when I'm talking about my 13-year-old who decides to be a cop, I'm not talking about meter maid.
Right.
Okay.
That those people are out there to ruin people's lives.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
They do nothing but ruin people's lives. As a matter of fact, I've never heard of a story. I keep my ears and eyes open I've never heard of a story of a meter maid taking down a perp. I've never heard of a meter maid, you know, busting up a crime. I'm sure it must happen. There are more of them than there are citizens at this. At a certain point, they're going to become victims of crime because there's just too many. And we're going to hear stories about meter maids.
Not again, their trikes take up so much parking space. I have to park illegally.
Right.
Because those little electric carts. Yes. The parking cops are in my way.
Right-hand drive. The point is those guys are out to ruin people's lives. The cops allegedly had something better to do than write chicken-ass tickets in Burbank. They're just doing what the command sergeant told them to do. And the command sergeant's just doing what the city councilman told him to do. And the city councilman's just doing what the mayor told him to do. I would like to start at the top and yell at that guy. I'm not interested per se in the foot soldiers. I'm not interested in talking to the privates. I want to talk to the generals. But at a certain point, the privates need to quit.
Yeah.
That's mutiny, man.
If you're just... No, it's not, because there's no repercussions. See, you try to get out of Hitler's army, you might get shot. Yeah. You get out of this, you just get a job selling RVs in Placentia.
But I would like there to be some cops fighting crime.
I'm sorry. I just want to know if that's a law. If you get out of writing meter maids, you have to now sell RVs in Placentia.
Not meter maids, Ducci. The cops.
Okay. Yeah.
The cops. Right. Meter maids... They're ruined.
They
cannot be saved.
Okay,
they aren't trained to fight crime, such as the guys who pull you over for a moving violation.
The thing about the meter maids is there's nothing else for them to do.
Right.
The cops, theoretically, could do other things like serve the taxpayers rather than rape the taxpayers. I know. Any of the city council people listening in Rape Bank or Rape Dale.
What about Santa Rapica?
They must be clutching their hearts right now, thinking this was a bizarre concept. You mean we can actually use the cops to stop crime instead of just rape the citizenship and get more money for them? Yes, it's possible.
No! Is there a crime wave in Rape Dale that I am unaware of?
No, I don't think there's... There's almost no crime in Burbank, Glendale, places like that. I mean, little to no crime because they just have tons and tons of cops and they just pull everyone over all the time. And I imagine they just they hand out tons of tickets to housewives, but every once in a while they grab a gangbanger, give him a ticket and arrest the guy. No, there doesn't seem that seems to be part of the problem. If you go into South Central, they have crime over there. Thus, the cops are sort of busy, you know, going into crack houses and dealing with gangbangers. They don't have time to rape the public. That's all. All right, where the hell were we? What were we talking about?
That's what we started with, man.
You
said
good
morning, he said ticket, and you went to work.
We were talking about how in the morning we're vulnerable to callers.
Uh-huh.
We'd like them to call us.
Well, yeah, that's what we were saying. About you're wearing some kind of different top today.
Mm-hmm. T-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice?
Not her usual fare. Must have slept somewhere.
I slept at home, but I didn't have a lot of time in the morning.
Mm-hmm. With a guy on you? What
I was
happened?
Wondering what that was.
With something to make your nipples do that? I hope not to embarrass you.
Have a bra?
I don't see anything.
No, liar.
Let's go to break.
Really? Okay, all right.
Let's see it?
Fine.
Okay.
See it.
What?
I'll show you one nut just to even the score, T.
One of mine. No, he's not going to show you one of his.
One of Ducci's.
All right. He's the boss.
Coming up next, Rick Marshall. The he's a what you call a secret debunker. He's going to get into the secret. You know this thing Oprah's been talking about?
Yeah.
I guess it started with Oprah. Does everything start with Oprah?
Well, she caught on to it. It started in Australia, and then Oprah took it on, and it became huge.
Right. And this is one of those, let's see if I can put this the right way. We're in this weird time of life. It hasn't been so long ago that we weren't struggling to survive.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I think about it, you go, 100 years was a long time ago, not according to the Earth.
No. God, no.
You're not measurable. And, you know, is there a big difference between, 16-whatever and 16-oh-whatever-whatever? I mean, you just go back 500 years. And you try to, or 5,000 years, or whatever it is, and you think 100 years, almost nothing.
Almost nothing.
We used to be preoccupied with survival. It was a weird thing. It kept us busy. It was a little bit of a blessing in disguise. You would just wake up every morning and think, what am I going to eat?
Yeah, I got to hunt and gather.
Got to hunt, got to gather, got to do my thing, got to stay a couple steps ahead of somebody who's trying to kill me or an animal is trying to kill me. What are you going to do? Now, we're fine.
For some of us, that was really, honestly, trying to not make a joke here. No, about 25 years ago, whole job would be to wake up in the car, make sure nobody broke in, I wasn't hurting anyway, and then get up. The hardest part of about eating, if I had to, was a buddy or a family member's, but it was kind of embarrassing. But yeah, I mean, 25 years ago, I was living out of a car, wasn't safe. All I had to do was score drugs and get food. That was it. Maybe shower at a gym.
But
look at me. I'm a drug addict. Ho, ho, ho.
Right.
Yeah, even if you're homeless today, though, at least you just walk over to the 7-Eleven and stand in front of it.
Right.
You don't have to go trap something, skin it, cook it, whatever.
You're going to take the fun out of everything, aren't you?
We're not worried about survival anymore. And now our brains, which I don't believe have caught up to us, are sort of turning on ourselves a little bit.
I agree.
What's the meaning of life? See, nobody asks what the meaning of life is when they're on the run, when they're trying to get food, when they're trying to find shelter. Now we need to know, and we turn to Oprah.
Right.
Because now it's like, look, we got all the food we can eat. As a matter of fact, we're eating so much food, we invented a sidewalk that goes in a circle called a treadmill. We run on it to burn off the extra food we put in our tank. Wow. It's a weird thing. It's like we have so much gas, it's overflowing out of our SUV. So at night, we drive in a circle around our house for 45 minutes and try to burn off some of the excess gas. It's a crazy thing. Just showing someone from a few hundred years ago a treadmill would have been like, I don't get it. Where are you going?
And why?
And why? Well, we eat so much, we have to burn it off by running on this belt.
Why are those famous women so skinny? You'd think so famous.
Well, they don't eat and they run on the belt.
Or they eat and throw it up.
What?
And are they attempting to become Negroes? No, it's spray on Negro.
What?
They are attempting to put their fair alabaster skin. They're spraying on a concoction attempting to become a Negro?
While vomiting up the excess food and running around their house, sir.
Yeah, so they can get paid.
Right.
What? Be an interesting story.
A shekel for that?
Sex, sluts, and ecstasy. Well,
are they in some sort of circus? No, they do TV. They do the news. Well, I have news for them.
Well, The Secret, by the way.
Oh, yeah, The Secret. Well, that's the book for all the people that have money and are spraying themselves orange and running on the belts.
And they want more stuff. The Secret
They need more stuff.
Right, it teaches you. It's the law of attraction. If you think about it, then you'll get it.
How do you get the stuff? Right, well, Rick is what you call the secret debunker, so we'll talk to him next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Shake your rump, peeps! Today, Mr. Bertram's going to take your home improvement questions. The Deaf Frat Guy stops by. And Adam's high school buddy, Ray, is going to tell us another wacky story about growing up with the Ace Man. We call him Reenactments. My guess, it'll involve no less than 3 bodily fluids being projected onto somebody. Hey, man, I got plenty of stories just like that. And by stories, I mean criminal charges. Not guilty.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're going to speak to Rick Marshall in a second. Says he's written 60 books on cultural topics. Jesus Christ, it sounds like 3 lifetimes worth of work.
Yeah, it does.
Who's he, Steve Allen? Cracking the Da Vinci Code is one of his recent works. So let's talk to Rick. Rick?
Hello.
Good to speak to you.
Hey, how you doing? Now, that book, Cracking the Da Vinci's Code, was by my co-author, actually.
Yeah.
That's not one of mine.
I'm shocked that something on this piece of paper in front of me is incorrect.
We debunked our first myth.
That's right.
Is your partner that British guy?
Yeah, but you know what? They told me this was going to be the George Putnam show. So.
I don't know who that is, but it's funny.
Old-time news guy. Yeah. Was your partner featured on 60 Minutes a couple of years ago?
I think he was.
Yeah, I think I did catch that one.
And on the History Channel every other night?
We're talking to Rick, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Just want to make sure it's the same group.
Yeah, but
so.
I've got a question, though. Do you have, like, a hideous scar or something? You seem eloquent. Why is your buddy always on TV and not you?
Yeah, well, I'm too busy writing books, trying to get on TV.
Oh, he's a lazy bastard. Okay, I'm glad we've gotten to the bottom of that.
Well, tell us what the secret is first before we debunk it.
The secret itself, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've dealt with it, but I have. Yeah, it's only 5.2 million, they say, have sold, and a couple million of the DVD, and it's...
About to be a television show.
That's right. Oprah's the one reason Queen Oprah, Grand Ole Oprah, has anointed it is because I think her production company is doing the TV show.
Mm.
But... Anyway, that book is about the supposed law of attraction, which is something, in other words, if you attract, you can attract something by wishing hard enough, you can repel something by wishing it away, and that includes health and trophy wives and a whole laundry list of nonsense, and people have fallen for it left and right.
Well, can I ask you this? I don't know anything about The Secret other than what I've heard from Oprah shows. I've never read the book or anything, but I always think about Buddhism, and I think about chanting for things. And I knew some Buddhists when I was in high school, and they would say, oh, no, if you want a new car, you just chant on it.
Right, that is.
And for an hour a day, you focus on getting a new car, and then it will come. And I thought, well, look, whether it's Buddha or whoever, if you sit around and thought about something for an hour a day, you'd get it that much faster,
right,
I assume. Is this kind of like that?
Oh, it's very much like it.
And then I guess I would ask, what's the harm? Like, I never believed in Buddhism, but I thought, well, some guy wants a car and he wants to chant on it for an hour a day, knock yourself out.
The problem with that one is one of the first tenets of Buddhism is you can only be truly happy if you don't want anything.
Oh, well, I'll chant on that next.
There's detachment, but Rick, that's a great question. I'm very curious. You know, maybe positive thinking doesn't attract everything you want, but how can it hurt you?
Well, listen, a positive mental attitude can hurt you, and a good self-esteem, I prefer self-respect, that can hurt you. But that's only the first step on the ladder, you know, to solving your problems in life. And that's one of the points of our book. And what Rhonda Byrne, which, by the way, same name, Rhonda Byrne, Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons.
Aha!
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Give me an idea there.
61st book on the way. Coincidence?
Burns.
I'm not.
Yeah. We have no further need for a sports
Excellent.
Type character on this broadcast.
I like this Rick. He's a fun guy for a debunker.
So, but, you know, it's always going to lead to not just disappointment, but self-destruction if you really believe that. I have a gag in the book. Channel, you know, Henny Youngman and Harry Hirschfield and all these old comics, but I tell a story of a guy on a park bench and someone walks by and says, what are you looking so sad about, stranger? And he said, I just heard my uncle's dying. He's checking out. He's giving up hope. Lives on the West Coast. He's going to die tomorrow. Can't even go see him. And he says, listen, sickness is in his mind. He's imagining this. He can wish himself better. Call him up. Tell him that. And let's meet tomorrow morning. Tell me how your uncle is. And he said, remember, he just thinks he's sick. So he comes back the next morning and said, how's your uncle? And he says, he thinks he's dead.
Thank you.
Rick Marshall is the author of The Secret Revealed. But yeah, how would it...
The Secret Revealed and he pulls a rabbit out of his hat.
How do you debunk something that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. How can you say, well, this definitively doesn't work when you can't really tell if it works or not?
Well, on the basis of actually, you know, what Teresa was asking, what's inherent in that is, does this lead to, you know, is The Secret just a pat on the back and a bunch of good advice, and it's all sound bites, and Rhonda Byrne has 23 people in there who are all self-help gurus, so it's all like an infomercial for their businesses, but it's all this stuff about feel good and wish this and you can have that. And all but two of them are in the self-help seminar business.
I'm thinking Dr. Dale Dreyer, has the Manifest Your Own Destiny, which is eventually think it, get it.
Yeah, and it's right. That kind of stuff. And what it really works out to is you can make money by figuring out a way to make other people pay money so you can tell them how to make money.
Right, yeah.
By starting a business to make money.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's going to lead to self... It doesn't change your own attitude. And to be serious for a second, she really puts that... First of all, I'm a Christian, okay? It's not just anti-religion. It's like pro-all religions. You mentioned Buddhism before, except Christianity and Christ is mentioned once, Buddha a whole mess of times, and biblical verses, biblical figures are misquoted, and what it all adds up to, it's a very materialistic, me-oriented thing, and what could be wrong with that? That's what America's about today. Well, that's one reason my partner and I thought we're firemen, and let's try to answer this nonsense.
Well, you know, it does strike me that when folks like Madonna start embracing the Kabbalah, you realize it does become about her.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And it's the weird sort of catch-22 because the religion is about the greater group and not about you, about a presence or deity higher than you or more powerful than you. But somehow these people turn everything back to them.
It's all them, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like they could give away $1 million to a charity, but it would still be about them giving the money away.
Yeah, but this book, in her book, it's not about giving money. She calls sacrifice Mother Teresa, giving away money, all that kind of stuff. She calls it foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this could be, if her system works, you would think make all your neighbors rich, alleviate poverty, all this kind of stuff, because you can wish your fortune back next week, right?
Right,
right.
But that's called idiocy on her. I mean, she just says that's foolishness.
Well, it boils down to this same thing you see when you see the guy who says he has a foolproof system for picking football winners every weekend that's going to make you millions of dollars. Your first thought is, why doesn't he shut up and use the system himself and laugh his ass off? I'm going to make you a real estate mogul. You can buy properties, no money down. Like, you just think to yourself, doesn't that guy just quietly buy his properties with no money down? He doesn't want competition from your ass?
Actually, if you want a great one, have you seen the guy? He sits on his yacht and he tells you how to make millions. No money down.
I'm Tom Vu. I come here in coffee can 26 years ago. Now I have bitches in a scarab. You like 355 Ferrari? You don't have guts. You don't have the guts to come after my car. You ever yell at everyone? You challenge at everyone?
There's this other guy with silver hair and he's been on TV.
It's not Tom Vu.
No. Oh. But he is the guy that kidnapped Frank Sinatra Jr. and went to jail for it.
That guy.
There are a few phrases I wanted to use in the book. You know, I came out of the comics business, and I was editor of Marvel and everything, so I get pretty sarcastic. Towards her philosophy, not towards the people who fall for it, because they're all, you know, either just curious or basket cases somewhere in between, but very sympathetic to someone who's interested in this. Anyway, I used the phrase Amway of the Soul, which I think she's doing. And the phrase I didn't use, but I think I could use in the Adam Carolla show, is Buddhism, but gay.
Yes.
Yeah, you can use that phrase here, especially with them yellow robes.
We already have bumper stickers if you need some. We're going to do a sticker stop.
If you want some boy, chant. It's a bumper sticker we have.
Rick, thank you for doing the Lord's work, literally doing the Lord's work. Rick Marshall, The Secret Revealed is the book. He's co-authored, and it debunks the myths of the popular book, The Secret. Let's talk soon, Rick, when you've debunked your next
What are you debunking next, Rick?
The Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah.
Nice. What myths are you uncovering?
Too easy, Teresa.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Turns out Huey Lewis isn't good.
Actually, I'll tell you, I'm writing a novel about what if Lincoln wasn't assassinated, and it's my first fiction, except for various tax returns and expense accounts. So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
I'll bet. That's interesting.
Kind of Rick's gym.
Me
Thank
too.
You, Rick. I appreciate it. Ooh. Got a line one says the secret worked for me. You see, I feel this way about, we talked about Buddhism, maybe now the secret, and many forms of religion is a kind of I don't believe it. I assume it's not true. On the other hand, if it stops you from murdering your kids or it makes you a few extra bucks or puts a smile on your face, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about country music. I don't like it. I'm not going to watch Garth Brooks in concert. I'm not a fan of country music. On the other hand, you're not hurting anybody.
Right.
Put on your cowboy hat, cut your sleeves off your T-shirt, put your boots on, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But
Go to town. But what if your thing is that you don't want the secret to not killing your kids? You want the secret to killing them and getting away with it. Can you then do that?
No. Oh.
No.
No, you're hurting somebody.
Okay, yeah. So that's the cutoff point if you're doing harm.
My feeling with almost any activity that you have a belief in or a love for that I don't share, like, I wish everybody had a love for things, you know, I wish everyone loved recycling, loved not littering, and loved planting trees. I would say you guys knock yourselves out, and I will be living in the Garden of Eden in about 20 minutes here. Like, you're not hurting anyone. You know, it's really, honestly, the way I feel about stuff like Scientology. Everyone loves to dig into Scientology. They love to talk about, oh, they're brainwashing these people, this, that, and the other. Well, I'm just my opinion from the cheap seats, because I really don't know much about it. But I don't want to be one of these radio people or comedians or commentators that just jumps on the bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Right? I'm just going to make fun of Scientology because I heard Leno make a joke about it or whoever. I see John Travolta. I see he's been married for 20 years.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Look, again, I'm coming from the cheap seats over here. I see Tom Cruise. The guy's always smiling and has a ton of energy.
Absolutely.
And is making money hand over fist.
And talented.
And talented. They're into Scientology. They seem to be happy with it. They seem to be paying their taxes. They seem to have tons of energy, and they go from one project to the next.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to do Scientology, but if Tom Cruise wants to do Scientology, knock yourself out, buddy. You're not saying, well, we have a, you know, I will compare it to radical Islam, which is, hey, we have a religion. Fantastic. We pray all the time.
Good.
Knock yourselves out.
Yeah,
we believe in this guy and we believe this is what happens. All right. Well, to each their own. Well, now we have to blow you up. Oh, what's that last part?
I'm sorry. Is this on?
Are we still talking about Scientology?
No, you were what?
You said you had to blow us up? Yeah, I got to blow you up.
Wait, so you believe in that guy? He seems good.
No, he's awesome.
At the end of the day, there was blow something up.
What we're going to do is we got to pray. We got a face place called Mecca. I don't want to bore you with the details. Right. We do it like 128 times. As a matter of fact, I'm five behind just in this conversation.
Sorry.
To catch it up. Kids are into it.
Right on.
Certain things with the ladies. We wear different garb, you know, stuff like that.
That's fine, man. I don't like people.
We got to blow you up.
What? I'm sorry, I was talking. You both what?
You don't believe in what we believe.
Well, you put my chick in a burka, that's okay. I don't like people eyeballing my girl.
Yeah,
I know it's a little old-fashioned.
You're not into Allah.
Right.
We need to kill you.
Yeah, I'm not getting that.
Yeah, see, that's now I get off. Now it's like, all right.
Train.
Now it's no longer a bunch of guys going to see some country music, knock yourselves out. They've all gathered up and they've decided to come to my house and tear my house apart.
Yeah.
And now we got a problem. Now
you gotta go open a 40 and watch some people turn left at 200 miles an hour, but you're not bothering me.
Right.
Okay, I gotcha.
But now you are planning on killing me, and now I want the stadium blown up that you guys are all in. That's my religion.
Yeah, that's iffy for me.
I have no religion other than keeping your retarded religion at bay.
Right.
That's my religion. My religion is not getting killed by you and your crazy religion.
Yeah, the secret's not hurting anybody. Maybe they waste some money on some self-help seminar.
Yeah, but we're a nation that pays $5 for a cup of coffee and $2,500 for a bomber jacket.
Right.
We got money to burn.
These guys pay nothing for an actual bomber.
That's right.
They just tell him, and he goes. Maybe something for the vest. I don't know how much that costs.
The bomber jacket. Jay?
Yo.
You say the secret worked for you?
What's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Jay?
Hey, brother.
Hey, Danny. What's going on?
What's up, Jay?
Jay, I'm guessing you never read the book, The Secret.
My Hebrew hotness. Oh, my goodness. Well, let me tell you.
Thank you.
This really worked. You know, months ago, I just had it with life, man. This is no joke. Had another nervous breakdown, and I was on the verge of suicide, man. I'm not talking about it, thinking about it, telling people about it. This is like actually, you know, gonna do it.
All right, Jay, this is hold on one second because we're running late.
I want to hear his story.
I do want to hear your story too, but I just want to make sure we're all on the up and up. You were hand of God going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Very depressed, and this book turned your life around.
Well, it was my adopted mother had
yes?
given me the.
Is that a true statement?
Yes.
All right, then shut up and hold on. All right, because I want to hear how this went. We're running late. We need to take a break. I don't know. It's time to either cut bait or do
round
two with
him.
Jay.
Well, are you feeling
I'm
him?
I'm sort of feeling him, too.
I've read the book. I'll be able to tell in 2 minutes. If
oh, yeah.
Read
oh,
book.
You've read The Secret. Yeah. Oh, all right. Good. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll talk to Jay, see how The Secret helped him, and then find out more details about it from the Dan Man.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's another summer safety tip with the Deaf Frat Guy.
I'm Maverick, the Deaf Frat Guy, here to give you just the tip. Pretending to drown may seem like a good way to get a hot lifeguard chick to give you mouth to mouth, but it is not a joking matter. Most lifeguards are dudes, and if they give you CPR, that totally makes you a homo.
Thanks, Mav. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ah, DFG in studio. He has, well, I don't want to give it away, but a bombshell to drop on everyone somewhere in the 7 o'clock hour. All right, we're talking about The Secret. It's the book you've seen on Oprah, makes your life better through the power of positive thinking. Jay over here doesn't sound like a candidate for the book, but says he was severely depressed, on the brink of suicide, and then read the book, and it turned his life around. Yes, Jay?
Almost exactly like that. I mean, you know, when you got people like Oprah that has like $1 billion, and, you know, she's promoting it, and her life is just great in every way, and she has no worries whatsoever. It's really easy to promote that, you know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
myself, coming from no family, no money, no nothing, sleeping in a car, eating on the street, to having a degree and going further, this really helped out, and it helped out months ago.
Well, tell me what the key that you learned from The Secret is.
Okay, a couple months ago when that was happening, when I was not just depressed. I mean, it was like, you know, I would walk around and my blood was pumping. It was just like any second it was going to happen. And my adopted mother gave me this this DVD, The Secret, and I watched it, and I was kind of amazed. Then I listened to the CD set. And I just kind of applied it, like, from that second on. And, you know, I started feeling a little better, trying to block out all the negative things.
Hey, Jay, what did you apply?
Yeah.
And don't say The Secret. What did you learn from? I don't know what The Secret is. What did you learn, and what did you apply?
What I applied was not letting one bad thought enter my mind. If it started coming to my mind, I just immediately blocked it out, and anything I thought of was positive.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to tune into a positive power is what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, from previous life experience, that was not happening. So I tried it, applied it, mm-hmm. and I was just about done, man.
Well, how do you apply it? Hang on a second, because, see, to me, it gets back to millions and billions of books sold on dieting, and it all gets back to exercise and eat right.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, anybody past the age of 9 these days can see a piece of apple pie a la mode and a head of broccoli. And no, I want to eat the pie,
right,
but the broccoli's better for me. And then anyone can see a video game and go, I'd like to play the video game, but I know it'd be better to put on the shoes and walk the dog around the block. We all know it. What gets us? The book that gets you to do it.
Yeah.
That's the book that sells a billion copies. We all know we're supposed to get up and work hard and not think negatively and think positively and keep our eye on the prize. But how does it get you not to think negative thoughts other than say, don't think negative thoughts?
Well, that is really what it does say. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is not only do I believe you read the book, because that really is basically what it says without mm-hmm. too much of an explanation on how to do it. But try it, apply it is a catchphrase in the book more than I would think 3 times.
Really?
So I'm with that. He read the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me tell you how it happened. Okay, so it says, you know, believe, ask, and receive, and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I had this little thought in my head. I said, you know what? I'm working every single day, you know, going out to sea. I'm making real S money. And I'm really sick of it. You know, I've been working fishing boats, tankers, everything like that. And I just, my mind.
And with some ugly women.
I'm going to try this
out. Fishing boats and tankers. Yeah.
I said, hey, you know, I put this thought in my head. I want to make $100,000. And it's just, it's, you know, ridiculous money for me. But I went on another boat, got with another union, which was a kind of a miracle because this union took like 4 years to get into. And as soon as I get back, the agent was just like, hey, man, I'd like you to take this job. And, you know, this and that. And it's a year job for $100,000. And I just kind of thought to myself, this is, pretty weird.
You know,
I specifically thought it at the point, when I was given that DVD. And, you know, that was just came out of nowhere. I mean, I thank God, you know, 3-4 times a day for this job.
So you thank God, and you thank The Secret.
No, I don't thank The Secret. The Secret is a way of thinking.
All right, hold on, because we just have a moment left, and I want to give you my secret. Instead of Jay talking about his secret. The secret, I will put it in a nutshell for everyone. I will tell you the truth as far as I know it, but when I know something's the truth, it is the truth. I come from it, so I can tell you. I've been on both sides of this fence, so I can tell you very clearly.
How would I know that?
Jay is trying to say it, but he's not exactly putting it to words. When you grow up in an environment where you don't think success is in the cards, then it's not in the cards. You don't know how to be successful. People say, oh, you don't know how to, you're not educated. They speak in terms of education, training, experience. The reality is you don't know what it's like to win. You're a team that never wins. You don't know what to do. You have maybe as good a personnel, maybe better personnel than the other team. You just never win. You have no experience winning. If you can get a victory under your belt, it makes the next one that much easier. And eventually, your own personal momentum just will blast you through life. You know, you think about Oprah. Oprah has an idea, and it happens. It never enters her head that, hey, what if it gets rejected? What if it doesn't get greenlit? What if no one lets me do this? Do you think that idea even comes across her head or even has in the last 20 years? It's, I have an idea for a TV show. Pow! It's a TV show. Hey, Dr. Phil, you ought to have your own TV. Boom! Pow! You got a TV show. That's an extreme example of sort of personal momentum. Each time she has a victory, it propels her even faster through the universe, and she keeps mowing down one challenge after the other. Well, there's a negative side of that. They're called the Corollas. It's when nothing worked, nothing's going to work, everything is way too whatever. How do you get out of it?
Beat
the crap out of yourself. Small little victories. Start bending yourself in directions you didn't think you could bend in. Get one victory. Go to the next. Personal momentum. But those of you who come from bad families, the streets, poverty, whatever, you have to push. But eventually, winning just becomes a way of life. I say winning, I don't mean winning, I mean achieving your goals.
Yeah.
It just becomes its own momentum. As strong as it is for Oprah, is as strong as your negative is right now in the negative direction. You can break
Hello,
you just have
there.
To start.
This is
all right,
Kira
we need to take ourselves a break.
Show on 107.7 The Inn. All right, perhaps I'm not psychic.
Tee the news quick.
We would have a few
okay,
problems
we're
going to
hear from the pitcher who threw the bombs last night.
And just what will a man do to afford to run off with a stripper?
I admit it.
Good times.
Let's take a look at
do
them.
I-405
Southbound.
Some embarrassing stories about their youth. Phone number's 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
I think he's a six-year senior now that I think about it. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Efforts to reach six men still trapped in a collapsed coal mine in Utah were wiped out yesterday by what the mine is calling continuing seismic and tectonic activity. A debate is raging about what came first, the seismic activity or the mine collapse. Did the mine collapse cause the earthquake or the earthquake cause the mine collapse? Obviously, the Bob Murray, who we've seen a lot on the news, who is a co-owner of the mine, furiously insists that an earthquake was the cause of the collapse.
I've never met a more passionate miner.
Oh, my God.
I've known hundreds.
Hundreds.
Nay, thousands.
Right.
of minors over the years. I've never met a more passionate minor.
Yeah. I don't know what we're yelling about!
They're usually very easygoing. It's hard not to feel for this guy, Bob Murray. He has six trapped men and their loved ones to deal with, and now it looks as though it's going to be 48 to 72 hours before they can reach the men to even find out if they're dead or alive.
They say, well, there was a mine collapse some years back, and they had to go through about 250 feet, and it took them 3 days.
Right.
Now, it's different situations. Maybe they're going through bedrock as opposed to shale or whatever it is. Right. But 250 feet took 3 days. These guys are 1,500 feet.
Yeah.
Do that math.
It doesn't look good, although two holes are being drilled from above ground in the hopes that rescuers can make some contact with the miners and maybe get them light, food, other items they need.
You know, these are the situations where we do need a whoever it is in the movies when the guy phone rings. You see the news about the mine collapse and stuff, and you cut to a dark bedroom with the sun just peeking through the curtains and maybe a bottle of half-drunk booze on the nightstand, and the phone rings and a hand's going. And then when the cover pulls up, it reveals Bruce Willis, and somebody says, Chuck, we need you down here. And he says, why? And then the voice on the other side says, because you're the best. Then he says, I swore I'd never go in another mine shaft.
Right.
Since little Bobby. And it's like, Chuck, there's only one man. It would be nice if there was really just that one guy instead of a whole bunch of stupid guys.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I would love if there were Chuck.
I just need that one guy that only exists in movies, because this stuff happens, and the reality is there's just a bunch of guys whose name isn't Chuck standing around going, oh, Christ. What are we going to do?
I have no idea. I wish we could call Bruce Willis right now.
I really do. Even though saving miners broke up his marriage and ruined his life.
He crawled in the bottle. He swore he'd never come out. He sure as hell swore he'd never climb into another mine.
Ben Affleck did it with his daughter. He said, you go to hell, and he died in that mine collapse, and Bruce thinks he sent him there. I'm not going in.
Mine shaft turned into a mine field for his relationship.
That's right.
All right. Wow. Well, man, it's not a great song.
That wasn't bad.
You can write that on the poster, yeah.
Meanwhile, passionate
descent into hell.
Well, it is for these guys. Meanwhile, your favorite passionate miner, Bob Murray, had this to say about the earthquake.
This was caused by an earthquake, not something that Murray Energy or Utah American did, or our employees did, or our management did, or that the Mine Safety and Health Administration did. It was a natural disaster. An earthquake.
I'm unable to control the pitch or volume of my voice.
Yeah, although the seismologist said that according to the seismograph, the motion seemed to be going down, which suggested it wasn't an earthquake, but a mine collapse.
Bob Murray, as you pointed out, is not a seismologist, but Walter Arabage is. He's the director of the University of Utah Seismograph Station's research program, and he has a different opinion, much like what you just mentioned. Let's hear from an actual seismologist.
At this point, my best judgment is that the evidence in hand is more consistent with the idea that the mine collapse was the source of the seismic waves recorded as the, quote, earthquake.
Now, let me tell you my policy. What's the guy's name? Bob Murray? What's the...
Yeah.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray?
It's Bob Murray.
He's going down the shaft.
Bob Murray's going for gophers. Here's how I work. And when it comes to arguments of science, I will go with the guy with the crazy last name,
Dr.
Balazsbov, over there, over the guy Murray.
Yeah.
Now, I want you guys to know I'm even keeled. Because when it comes to who held up the gas station, I side with the Murray guy. I say the guy with the crazy name is guilty. When you say two guys got into an altercation by the side of the freeway after bumping each other, it's unclear who started the fight. Mm-hmm. I blame the guy with the crazy name.
Absolutely.
But just to show you, very even keeled, when it comes to arguments of seismology, I always give a tip of the cap to the guy with the crazy name. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a smarter version than what I do. In boxing, I just bet on the black guy.
You bet on the black guy.
That's all there is to
it. It's a version of that. When seismology, bet on the white guy? Jesus, I got to work this out. Point is, more complicated the name, the smarter he is, but the more apt he is to punch the guy by the side of the freeway.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. Now, in the world of sports, Barry Bonds finally took the all-time home run record away from Hank Aaron yesterday when he hit his 756th home run off Washington Nationals pitcher Mike Basic in front of his home crowd in San Francisco. Here is the ESPN crew calling Barry's momentous homer.
Basic 3-2 again. This is swinging a hot fly ball right center field. Back it goes. Racing back. Logan jumping up, and that ball is gone.
Sucks that it happened
number
against the Nationals.
56.
Why is that?
Team that's been around for 15 minutes.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what it
meant.
Well,
there's a few interesting things about this pitcher, Basic. His dad was a pitcher. And his dad actually threw against Hank Aaron back in the day.
I heard her read this earlier, so I'm not even going to pretend I knew that. Mm-hmm. But when I heard her say it, I thought, I wonder if Carolla's going to think this is like the neatest thing in the world, in his sports world, that his dad pitched against the guy whose record he just broke.
Well,
does that rivet you in any way?
I'm about 50% riveted.
Yeah?
I'm what you call spot welded.
Right. Okay. It's not permanent.
It would be a full-blown seam weld if Dad gave up a dinger to Henry Aaron.
Right.
And then it would be a crazy meld bond if he gave up a significant dinger, like 500.
Right.
Oh, and especially when Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record, 715, or whatever that record was. If his dad did that, then it'd be crazy. A line, you know, the skies would part.
Right.
Hats would be falling.
Now, if I say Al Downing, what comes to your mind?
That's the guy who gave up the 715 to Aaron.
That's exactly right. And, you know, most sports fans or most people who know the name Al Downing would immediately say what you just said, even though he had a 17-year, you know, career as a pitcher.
Yeah, this is the problem, which is if you're not going to have much of a career, and most people don't at the pro level, then better to be to go down in history as the guy who gave it up.
Yes.
On the other hand,
you made this point yesterday,
right.
Yeah, on the other hand, you could have an all-pro career or all-star career and still go down in history as this guy, Bill Buckner, the guy whose ball went between his legs.
Right.
They don't realize all the all-star years the guy had.
Right. It's sad. Now, this guy, Basic, is a journeyman. He spent most of his 12-year pro career in the minors, including a stint in AAA. So, you know, maybe not the most notable of pitchers, but an incredibly gracious guy. Let's hear from the Washington Nationals pitcher, Mike Basic, explaining how it feels now to be linked with this momentous 756 home run.
What are your thoughts? Would you have pitched that same pitch to him if you had to do it all over again?
I would have thrown the same pitch, just better location.
You will forever be linked with Barry Bonds now. How do you think you'll handle that?
It'll be cool. Me and Barry will hang out, go to dinner. I went over and told Barry, congratulations, you're the greatest. And, we took some pictures, gave a hug, talked for a minute. And it's an accomplishment. It's unbelievable. It's the greatest accomplishment in sports history as of today. And congratulations.
Then Barry had some roids to shoot and had to go.
Yeah. Look, he knows this is the highlight of his career.
Right.
Why not enjoy it? I like that.
I like him, too, and he seemed even more gracious and awestruck when discussing a gift that Bonds gave him after hitting his pitch.
I have an autographed bat from Barry Bonds now. It says, to Mike, God bless Barry Bonds. It'll be the greatest memorabilia I'll ever have in my lifetime.
Right.
You got to be a pretty special player to be remembered in this game or do something pretty special. I was part of a pretty special moment.
God bless this. I love this guy.
Yeah.
I know. It makes you, first, it's what I do with everything. I think, God, I love this guy. And then I think, God, I hate all the other athletes. Because you realize this guy's just doing what normal people would do if you put a microphone in front of them. You know, you go to a wedding and the person walks around with the video camera and says, say something to Sheila and Tim. And you go, you raise your glass. Hey, Tim, you're dynamite. I love you. I love you like a brother. But many happy years, Sheila. You may hate these two.
Right.
You probably have some issue with either Sheila or Tim or the both of them. They probably owe you money. You probably had to drive too far for this fricata wedding. You had to rent the tux. But what do? You hold that glass of wine up and you're like, you guys are awesome. May you have 1,000 years and then 10 more on top of that. You guys are a great, great couple. Sheila and Tim, God bless. God bless. You'll see you on the dance floor. And then the camera moves away and you go, I effed her in high school.
And then you go, I give him 4 months.
I give him 4 months, right. But you do. Now, pro ball players would be like, first, I want to thank Jesus Christ. You know.
Took the spin off that ball.
Yeah, I know this is Sheila and Tim's moment, but a lot of people think Barry Bonds should thank Sheila and Tim for their moment. Barry Bonds doesn't go to weddings. Barry Bonds does what's best for Barry Bonds. And you realize what pompous a-holes all these guys are. They never stop thanking themselves or thanking God. He just acted like a normal human being, caught up in the moment. Hey, this is awesome. Right. I'm glad to be here. This is cool.
By the way, if you're ever stuck for that moment at a wedding, yeah. I almost always say, Tim, right on. Congratulations, buddy. Sheila, real balls to wear white, babe. That's the one. That's what I say.
It's the most annoying thing in the world. And we speak for a living. Imagine when they get to that couple in their 60s who've never had a conversation before in front of a lens. And it's the couple and they're like, okay, sweet. Always a little confused by the technology. Should we start now? Do we start now? Should we start? Yes. When the person's holding the camera in front of you, feel free to start. What do you want to do? Get the sticks out and slate? All right, sorry.
Well, Danny, you mentioned balls, and this guy Bassett, this pitcher, he not only will go down in history for having thrown this this pitch to Bonds, but here's another thing. He could have pitched around Bonds.
Right.
He chose not to. He was willing to challenge him with a 3-2 fastball in the fifth, and Bonds hit it. So, you know, that's another thing to say for this fellow.
If I'm not mistaken, that means a full count, right?
Yes.
So it was dangerous?
No.
No?
Well,
some pitchers pitch around him.
Well, hold on. He gets walked more than any other player in the league.
I figured that.
It's 3-2, so, you know, if it's 2-2, you got a ball to burn.
Right.
Go ahead and try to paint the corner of the plate.
Yeah.
When it's 3-2, if you're not planning on walking the guy, you better come with a strike. Otherwise, you are going to walk the guy. But he knows he's going down in history. There must have been a part of his head that thought, this is Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
We're in Candlestick or wherever the hell they play now. Copco or Petco or Pacific Petco or Pacific Bank Cheeto Co.
Hometown.
Wherever the hell they're playing Co. new name du jour Co.
Yeah.
Is where they're playing, and he must think, I'm going to go down in effing history. There will be, my name will be out there more than it's ever been.
You called a lot of this the other day.
Yeah.
One was, no, I pitch underhand.
I think it took great guts. Plus that bat he got from Barry.
Yeah.
Hell, that's got to be worth $300,000 today. No telling what it's going to be worth in 10 years.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the ball, though,
as
I was watching the ball sail out and the scrum to get the ball.
Right.
People going nuts. I think a Mets fan.
That's right.
Got the ball.
Yeah.
They're playing the Washington Nationals. They're playing the San Francisco Giants. They're in San Francisco.
Yeah, AT&T.
There's a guy wearing a Mets jersey who's walking out with the ball.
Right.
God damn those New Yorkers. They're savvy.
That would have happened
business,
vice versa.
Savvy. Oh, he would have been killed.
He'd have been carved up
but
into pieces.
It's confusing because he's not a Giants or a Nationals fan. He's wearing a Mets fan. Wearing a Mets shirt.
Yeah.
But the point is the scrum for the ball, that was essentially like someone taking $1 million. This is a low ball estimate, pardon the pun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to take $1 million. I'm going to wrap it in duct tape to form of a ball, and I'm going to throw it out in the crowd. Whoever gets it has got themselves at least $1 million. That was the motivation. Now, balls go out of the ballpark all day long everywhere around the country, and people reach up and grab them, but they don't fight for them.
Right.
This one they fought for, and I thought, that's capitalism.
Yep.
There you go. Because the Soviet Union or the former Soviet Union is the ball that ain't worth nothing. And everyone going, go get it. And everyone going, I'm going to have a shot of vodka. And this time tomorrow, I may go out in that direction, but I may not come back with the ball. Our system is there's $1 million in a ball. Go get it. And everyone dives on it. The amount of calories burnt going after that ball versus going after your basic ball that goes out of a ballpark at any given time. There's light years difference between the two. That's what money does to people.
It's true. If you want to, in Russia right now, if you could hit Barry Bonds' 755th home run or throw a large potato into a crowd, the fight's for the potato.
Right.
There's a line for the potato. They just don't care about the ball.
Yeah. Well, but they can't sell the potato on eBay for $1 million.
Right. Right. And from what I understand, even before Bonds hit the ball, there was an offer for $500,000. So potentially that will go way up.
Yeah. Well, Bald Brian said his old roommate sold 700.
It was ball, a high school buddy of mine. He sold it for 800 grand.
Ball 700 yeah. for 800 grand. And that's all this stuff works.
Right.
There's no heads or tails, no up, no down. It's what did the last one sell for? That's the way yeah. you figure out half the price of everything. That's how George Clooney gets to figure out what he's worth.
Right.
Hey, what'd they pay in your last movie? $12 million? Oh, all right. So I need to get at least $12 million for this one. That's usually how things work. 700 grand for the 800 grand for the 700 ball. This has to be worth three times that much.
Now, you know, when you said it's capitalism at its best, I was just thinking of a picture. Remember, it's a freeze frame, and everybody knows this picture. It's also from the movie Flags Our Father. When they plant the flag at Iwo Jima, mm-hmm. there's yeah. those five guys, and that one guy reaching up way behind with his hands and not actually touching anything.
Right.
I'll bet there's a moment in the scrum for that ball that if you froze it and took a picture, it would look remarkably like planting that flag on Iwo Jima. A mm-hmm. bunch of people hustled together and one guy leaping up into the air.
Right.
That really, those two things really stand for America.
Wow. Powerful stuff
My,
from the douche
you.
Man.
Thank you.
Well, can I close with one other story
Please.
About capitalism?
Mm,
How
yeah.
much would you pay for the name sofa.com? The name .com name sofa.com.
I had bought, foolishly, spent quite a bit of money for couch.org.
Oh, no. Geez.
Some
.org.
Years ago was burned quite badly.
You
quite badly.
Sorry. Yeah.
Quite badly. Well, wait a minute. What about the man with the stripper?
This is
same
related.
Story?
Oh. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good.
Well,
let's hear it.
Just to give you a little background.
If you own sofa.com.
Right. You could sell it. These
right.
domain names.
People bought adamcarolla.com yep. many, many years ago.
Right.
Yes.
Wisely, they snatch up names that they think
right.
are going to sell.
Yep.
The rights to business.com sold for $8 million. Wine.com sold for $2.9 million. Autos.com sold for $2.2 million. Sofa.com sold for only $200,000. But $200,000 to a guy who's trying to romance a stripper is a lot of money.
Mm, it's a lot of lap dances, yeah.
That's right.
I saw that movie, Romancing the Stripper.
That's... three lap dances if you're in the champagne room.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was that expensive.
Mm.
Well, unfortunately, the guy who sold the name sofa.com, it wasn't exactly his to sell. It was his company's. The guy here is a 41-year-old named Stephen Gallstad of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He was an employee at Dinosaur's Leather Only over mm-hmm. there in Sheboygan. And the company's owner died back in 2005, so Stephen took over. And he quickly sold sofa.com, even though it belonged to the company and not him. Why? Because he was cheating on his wife with a stripper. He needed money to take her to Brazil, Canada, Las Vegas, and New Jersey. Glamorous
wow.
New Jersey.
That's a weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he also embezzled tens of thousands more to help pay for this affair.
Oh, the story's older than time.
Yeah.
Selling
I had a
domain
nickel
names.
For every time a guy sold sofa.com to take a stripper to Canada, Brazil,
in Jersey.
I'd be a rich man.
Yeah. Ottoman.biz has been around since the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
Well, this guy.
It's the world's second oldest profession.
This mm-hmm. guy got busted by some other employees at the company. His wife divorced him, and he's looking at 5 years in prison and up to $25,000 in fines if he's found guilty of theft in a business setting.
Hey, everybody. Hey, I got the domain name boner.com. And I don't spell that com with an O. Stage four. I mean, dot stage. The hell, I'm high on blow.
All right, I'm gonna have an org.
.org. Yeah, nose candy. .blow wants to do some at my mom's .suv out in the .parking lot. We'll move the dot baby suit from her baby's mama. I'm wearing a dot fanny pack. with a dot beard right now and a dot ponytail, even though I'm dot balding. Who wants to do some dot booger sugar? Tip dot appreciated. We got a poison dot marathon coming up. I got some stripper dot glitter on me. Who needs a hit a blower dot patchouli? All right.
Well, oddly enough, TeresaStrasser.com was available. I am she, and that was the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Good times. Ah, the Def Rat guy. Yes. He's wearing his Cougar Crossing shirt.
I bet he's getting rich and not telling us.
Well,
some of his ideas, as much as sometimes he can get under my skin, some of his ideas are really good.
Well, he not only has the Cougar Crossing shirt, which are moving like hotcakes, he also has... Well, my favorite, which is the sort of Christian fish, but fashioned out of a beer bong. You really have to see it. It works. he has a new invention.
Really?
I think all I'm going to say is it comes in a powder form.
Ooh.
And I think potentially could make him millions. We'll bring Def Rat Guy in next.
I've got a cougar by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when she gets through with me. Well, I'm busting nuts and drinking lots of ale. Looks like I got a cougar by the tail.
Maverick, also known as the Def Rat Guy in studio, 60-year senior over at SC, formerly a Teak, tossed out of the Teak house, formed his own frat house.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's in with a new product. He's very excited. He's wearing his Cougar Crossing shirt.
Yeah, they're selling, apparently, except not the mediums.
I'm a little bummed out about that because everyone, like, when are you coming out to mediums? So I service them, these people, and I got a bunch of mediums.
Yeah.
And now this big fat person
sitting in the box.
I see.
Here would be my suggestion, because there seems to be no uniform size to shirts. I have larges that are bigger than extra larges.
Yep.
I have XXLs that are tight on me, and then they're larges I'm swimming in. There seems to be no uniformity. I wish it was like a gallon of gas. You don't have 1 gallon of gas. Oh, that's Arco's gallon of gas. Oh, that's Union 76's version of a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
You just know what you're getting each and every time.
Sure.
It's like you get the large and then you have, oh no, that person's large is the same as another person's medium.
Oh,
it's confusing. Right. You have to do is change out the tags that say medium for XL and you can sell them and no one will send it back. They'll just complain like I do. What, you call this an XL? And that's it.
When at the camp, Bobby Canning and his homeboys bought up all the XS's, the extra small.
Oh, right.
Right.
His camp where he helps to be a counselor with the the kids with progeria.
Not just them,
There's other people at the camp. Yeah, if people don't remember the story, it started about 3 weeks ago. Def Rat Guy, he gives back. I mean, you hear him up here, and he's talking about defratguy.com, and he's trying to hawk some Cougar Crossing T-shirts, but he definitely gives back. He knows it's like to have a handicap.
Well, these people, they own it from me. They asked, they said, hey, Maverick, when are you going to get some double X for us big guys?
Mm-hmm.
Where's my phone, you fat F?
Right, the fat Fs of the world.
Right.
I did it, and I saw like two of them. What, are you too busy buying donuts or French fried food?
Wow. That's good
stuff. And if people don't remember the backstory, the little kids with the progeria disease.
Which is rude, because I always think of them as the little scrotum people.
Right, they're aging.
I feel so bad about that, but that's the vision I get.
They're 8-year-olds that sort of look like Yoda. It's very sad.
Bobby Canning he's actually 15. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
All right, but the point is the other kids in the camp were getting him to buy beer.
Hell yeah.
Because he looks old.
Right, and then trouble ensued. But the point is they bought up all the smalls. And now they're left with nothing but medium. All right, well, let's not live in the past.
Right. He's got a new product.
Just step up to the plate, potato up, and buy it. medium shirt, dude. That's all. I really got them for the ladies.
Cause
they're nice, tight fitting.
Mm-hmm.
See the breasts.
Mm-hmm. The contours, yeah. Very nice. So now what? What's the latest product?
Oh, not too much. Just this.
What is that?
Just
holding up a vial, it looks like, of something.
It's a little something that may revolutionize the hooking up with Cougar Market.
Ooh, really? Because,
diet market.
This Cougar thing has really come on with a vengeance over the last few years. I don't think I knew what a Cougar was 8 months ago. Now it's all over the place. This is younger men hooking up with older women.
Dude, I didn't know what one was 8 months ago. Now my ex-wife is one.
Yeah.
She is the platonic ideal of a cougar. She has her own money, her own career. She's beautiful.
Size zero, fake rack, new nose. Jesus.
Right.
Wow. I married the queen of all cougars.
Mm-hmm.
She's one now.
And they have to be sexually aggressive.
Right.
Right.
Let's not talk about that. I don't think Danny can handle that.
I'm on to now.
What have you come up with, Maverick?
First, I want to give a shout out to my homeboys up at Folsom and Delano State Prisons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about anal vomit, tomato, Uncle Fester, and frozen dildo. Hell yeah, for starting that chapter in prison, guys.
Yeah, there's. I think we got bleeped out.
His name.
On that. you have to stop saying.
Maverick, we can't say that gentleman's name.
Hit him a sign.
Yeah, you get the idea.
You do the sound effect one more time. The guy's name.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got into they're doing what Delta Foods do.
Oh, mm-hmm.
They were having a good time. But mm-hmm. apparently they got caught with some Pruno.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Homemade booze, yeah.
So
that guy.
AV
got sent to Delano. Mm-hmm. Delano State Prison, Delano, California.
Well, maybe he can open a chapter over there.
He did.
All right. Oh,
so now we are in two state prisons.
That's great.
And growing every day.
Well, if you think about it, prison is the ultimate frat house. It's a bunch of dudes who like to party, who don't mind getting on, you know, the wrong side of the dean.
Right, but to whom will you slip a roofie?
Well, apparently they do it with the, they have a cougarific prison staff.
Uh-huh.
More than willing. And they also have prison pen pals that are more than willing to service them.
Yeah, it's a bunch of dudes all living under one roof. The warden becomes the evil dean. The same, all the math, it all applies right across the board. The there's always that one badass guard. That would be like, what's his name?
Nigga liar!
It'd be like the guy from the Sammy house that you hated. What's the guy's name? I can't think of the guy's name.
Oh, Blake Chambers.
But, that's your Blake Chambers, you know what I mean? He's always riding you, but you always get the best of him.
But there's classes you can go to.
Right. So it's
sure.
like school.
It's exactly like school.
Yeah, it's a frat house.
You can't put bars around a man's need for brotherhood.
Yes. I say we no longer call it the big house, and we now call it the big frat house.
Nice.
Oh, I forgot.
Hmm.
Here, let me pass it around.
All right.
Thank you.
So we have a vial of prescription. What's in there?
What? Oh, she wrote it, crazy. Oh,
jeez. I wasn't expecting that.
I'm afraid I do know.
Oh, is it liquid in there?
Could you please, if not...
I thought you were doing a venter. You see, it looks empty from a distance.
Oh, my God. It looks like pubic hair. Bits.
It's pubes, right?
It's genuine cougar fur.
I told you. Sometimes the guys
genius. Does it have flecks of gray?
Mm, it has flecks of gray. Yeah. It's real cougar fur. And look, what you do is... Mm-hmm. I'm really bummed out because I thought of this last night, and then I woke up in the middle of the night with a big problem.
Yeah.
What I have to do is bathe it in a denatured alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to do is put a mister, and you spray it, and the pheromones make the other cougars
come running.
But here's the problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
if I put it in a liquid solvent, I will not be able to bring it onto an airplane. The biggest market of them all.
Ah, I see.
No, your biggest problem is how are you harvesting the cougar fur?
Yeah, you're going to have to synthesize it at a certain point. I don't know if you can go out and harvest it every night.
A pluck every session.
With the same cougar? She's going to run out.
Look, if they're PO'd or something, you just snip a little trim.
Mm-hmm. PO'd? What about PETA?
Mm-hmm. So,
plus, you can harvest while they were sleeping.
So,
With scissors and just discreetly do it.
Yeah. So you're essentially making a sort of a, back in the day, there was something called Spanish fly.
Yeah.
That was what you gave to young prude chicks who didn't want to do it. It was supposed to be made of cockroach legs from Tijuana.
Stuff like that, yeah.
It never worked, as far as I know, except for there was always one story.
Yep.
And the story, and here's how you know it was a lie, but you would believe it.
This happened to a Fiji.
Oh, really? Someone in the Fiji house?
His girlfriend.
Anytime somebody said this, You know, Carl DeLutri has an older brother, Kurt.
Yeah.
He's an older dude. He graduated like 2 years ago. You didn't know him, but you remember that guy. He's a badass.
Yeah,
he's a tough guy. Kurt picked up this chick at a bar like 3 years ago, and he put some Spanish fly in her drink.
From those magazines you got?
Yeah. He got it. And, she got all hot. She got totally hot for Kurt, you know?
For real?
Yeah. She was going nuts. So she was like, hey, man, let's go back to your place and get it on. So Kurt was like, cool. So they jumped in Kurt's Camaro. And they're driving home. And he was like, he realized he didn't have a condom. So he's like, hold on. I'm going to pull over to 7-Eleven, wait in the car. I'm going to get a condom. So he runs in to grab a condom while she's waiting in the car. He gets his condom. He comes out. He finds her. She's impaled herself on the stick shit.
I heard that.
Killed.
That happened to him?
That was Carl's older brother, Kurt. She was so horny because she took so... I mean, I don't know if the stuff works or not, but
it was one of those key handles on a gear
shift. We got a corpse.
Yeah, you've heard this,
We got a corpse on a gear shift over here. Now, it was weird. You never believe it if it was anyone you knew. If their older brother, it was always, anything in the 70s about someone's older brother was immediately believable.
And they were always
There was one at a couple of Fiji brothers. A lot of people thought they were haunted or cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One of them... His girl was found dead on the gear shift of a Fiat.
Mm,
he went in, but the older brother had it worse.
Column shift.
No.
You want to talk about horny?
He was...
three on the tree. All right.
No, he was a victim of AEA.
What's that?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
That's common amongst the fraternity brothers, right?
Hell yeah, it's Moose likes to do that.
Right, it's dangerous. I hope you tell him that.
Oh, if I were the dean of students or the dean or whoever, the whole reason I would have the assistant was just to make that phone call. Like, look, kid jumps off the bell tower, I'm going to call the family. Kid kills himself in a drunk driving accident, I'll be the one that calls home and alerts them. Hello, this is the dean. The kid puts the grocery bag on his head and starts beating his meat in his dorm room and keels over that way. I'm going to need you in here, Phil. I need you to make a phone call for me.
Sure, what's up, boss?
Kowalski's the name of the family.
Kowalski.
Try to be sensitive.
Tim Kowalski?
Yeah,
I got it right here.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and get you a cheat sheet. You keep it short.
Okay.
Thank you. I would never make that phone call myself.
Is this Mr. Kowalski?
Hold on. We're hearing in excess, by the way.
Yes, we are.
Michael Hutchins, unfortunately.
All right. So the point is this stuff does work. Spanish fly. It's not just an urban myth.
It's legal, but for how much longer?
Right.
Right.
So now you have a cougarific version of the Spanish fly.
Look.
And there's just good science behind this.
Yeah,
and lots of people have said maybe if you smoke it.
Oh, you smoke it.
Wait a minute.
Or the other thing is to grind it up with a...
Mortar and pestle?
Yeah, you make it into like a pepper.
Right.
To sprinkle it unknowingly into someone's dish.
So
it make that crazy.
That's organic. It's probably not illegal to do.
But can I ask you this? Is the idea to get more cougars interested in you, or is it to take the power, the sexual energy of the cougar, and unleash it on the unwitting 19-year-olds?
To get more ass from the cougar.
Right.
A more cougar ass.
Not ass in general.
Yeah. What about...
Let's grow this plan here.
The cougars are horny enough. How about taking the horniness of the cougar and infusing that into the young co-eds?
Poochie's uncle says this is a good way to get a patent.
Right. Well, listen, let me ask you. I'm concerned. This is not a renewable resource. I mean, how are you going to continue to harvest? Plus, cougars in the wild without their fur... It seems dangerous.
No, there are a lot of cougar shaved down below.
Right.
It is sort of like, I mean, these, it's, let's not pretend they are 18-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
They are a little older, and for them to have the shaved down below look is sort of like, I don't think I believe you're an 8-year-old girl.
I see.
Right. I understand.
So cougars
I know that's what they're going
grow
for.
It out.
You're a goddamn disgrace.
I am a fan of a kept girl, well trimmed, well manicured, I really am. But once you've had children of your own, you could use a little fur, as we're describing it, to disguise some things that can happen after childbirth.
I like the C-section scar comb over myself.
Yeah, you got to put a little, save a little so you can work with it.
Little Grecian formula, a little comb over. Hey, you're back in high school.
Little Bondo.
What's John Travolta doing in your pants?
Well, I would suggest, nothing if you read the tabloids. I would suggest, Maverick, that you cut your, here's what you need to do. You need to cut yourself a deal with all the Asian ladies who do the waxing.
Oh.
And you need to say, look, you get a 22-year-old in here, that goes right into the waist bin. But you have someone come in here older than 35, when you give them the wax, kick it to the side. I'll be back that afternoon for a pickup, and you'll be in for a taste. You know, that's the way to harvest it on a mass level. I'm assuming this takes off. Do you have a name for it?
Cougar fur.
Cougar fur.
Cougar fur.
Dr. Maverick's original cougar fur. I want to make a really cool label, like an old-time medicine bottle.
Right. Yeah.
And be like, you know, like... Maybe I'll be holding the product.
With like the mustache with the wax in it.
Like Dr. Bonner's soap.
Right. Yeah, old time. Yeah.
Or for certain magazines and periodicals, you could actually leave your product on its original source and take the picture of you and the cougar with before she is harvested.
Right. I that's a good, and maybe you can adopt a cougar, like be like, this is where your fur comes from you know, Debbie, age 42, promoted beef.
Realtor.
Realtor. It's either that or travel agent. All right, Mav, another great idea.
Yeah.
Another great idea.
Thank you.
Help promote the site, bro.
Yeah, that's defratguy.com.
Did you have to buy that from anybody, or was defratguy.com available?
No, but someone did take it on MySpace and impossible. Monster.
I hate that.
Kind of bumming me out a little bit right now.
I understand. Well, defratguy.com is where you go to get the Cougar Crossing t-shirt. Show your allegiance. Show your pride.
Yeah.
And the new powder. Fur.
This would be available pending Poochie's uncle, his patent thing. Mm-hmm. And also, I think I may have to go through the FDA.
Understandable.
I think pending Poochie's patent is just a cool thing.
We'll take a quick break. We'll do your home improvement questions. 866-901-ADAM. Home improvement questions next with Mr. Burcham.
Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's time for your home improvement questions with Adam's old friend, Mr. Burcham.
How do you do? Name's Burcham.
Got a question? Call us up at 866-901-ADAM. Brought to you by the Home Depot free how-to clinics. Let their paint department guide you through your home improvement projects. But start here on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, 866-901-ADAM. Your home improvement questions will be answered. Let me go get Burcham in here. For those who don't know Burcham, let's see a little backstory on Burcham. Shop teacher, teaches remedial wood over at Louis Pasteur Middle School in Monrovia. knows a lot about the topic. Expert, journeyman, woodworker, just a little rough around the edges.
I guess I could look when he gets in, but just so I don't stare, how many fingers?
How many does he have left or how many are missing?
Oh, so that,
it's faster to count the ones that are left.
How many's got left?
Well, I won't tell you how many, but you do the math.
I'll just look
you could do it more quickly if you just... I, by the way, worked with a guy and do work with a guy, Gary, who's missing two fingers and didn't know it for 5 years.
Yeah, I knew a guy who didn't notice. I didn't have a finger. He's my neighbor. Didn't notice for over a year.
And it's always weird because you can't do that thing where you go, hey, when'd you lose that finger?
You can't.
Right, not 2 years into knowing
him. You're not supposed to.
Oh,
yeah.
I knew totally. First
but it is a weird thing when people lose their fingers. I don't notice it, and I don't know why I don't notice it. I don't notice the lazy eye as much as other people notice, because when I talk to people, I look down sometimes.
Right. Right.
So you think it'd be one or the other. Either you notice the lazy eye or you notice the missing finger.
Right.
I don't seem to notice either one. I worked with a guy for years and didn't know he was missing two fingers.
I had a math teacher that only had 9 fingers, and I thought, that must be why he's good at math.
Did anybody know that Dudley Moore was missing a finger?
No.
No!
I watched when I was a kid.
Wasn't he in 10?
When he came out, on stage, he said, I was going to be a concert pianist, and that's what he was doing. He was playing piano, and he said, and then I lost this finger, and he held up his hand, and Arthur was missing a finger, and he went back to playing piano. And now it's like a double whammy, because first you're going, I can't believe Arthur can play piano like this. And then after 5 or 6 songs, he goes, and then I lost my finger.
When you get caught between the moon and a bandsaw. All right. Well, let me get Mr.
I'm never going to get tired of this.
Let me get Mr. Burcham, 866-901-ADAM. Home improvement questions answered next.
Here to answer your home improvement questions, Louis Pasteur Middle School wood shop teacher, Mr. Burcham.
Kevin?
Yes. What's up, Mr. Burcham?
Yeah, listen, I don't have the time. What is it? What's going on?
I'm putting in hardwood floors. I live in Las Vegas. I'm putting in some hardwood floors.
Well, let me just say something. I'm not here to make friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not a popularity competition. I'm not running. I'm running for mayor. I'm hungover. I'm going to answer these woodworking questions. Let's get to it.
Okay, do I glue them down or do I just put them in?
What do you got, a hardwood floor?
Yeah.
You a gay guy?
No, not at all.
No, straight guys are interested in hardwood flooring. That's the domain of the gays. I love that. I love fruity cocktails and hardwood floors. I got to tell you, you want to see a gay cry?
Yeah.
Drop a fruity cocktail on a hardwood floor.
You ruined both.
That's like your two twins dying in the same head-on collision.
Oh, Mr. Burcham.
Oh, yeah. I work with a guy that has twins. And
Mr. Burcham, you don't care much for children, right?
That half a fag of a Corolla?
Yeah. Wait, no.
Wonder how he got his beard pregnant. Good-looking guy, though.
No, I think he's straight.
Matinee idol good looks. I can see why the ladies would love him.
You just
don't know what to do with them once he gets them. Just roll around in their panties like Elvis. Hi. Can't get an erection. What are we talking about, Kevin?
Hardwood floors.
I put in hardwood floors.
Hardwood floors. You want to go the old-fashioned way, the old T&G, the one where you get out the big drum sander and refinish it, and then the edger, and you put the 3 coats of Varathane on it, or are you just going to go down the IKEA?
Just the IKEA, like the Pergo.
You're just going to snap it together. No, you want to know whether you want to know whether to glue it down? No, you don't glue that down. It's called a floating floor.
Okay.
You put that stuff down. You snap it together. You leave a little gap on the edge where the baseboard goes for expansion. That's right.
Okay.
Wood's alive. It breathes. It expands. It contracts. It goes with the moisture and the air and the humidity and the weather. It's got a soul. You understand? It can see through you. A spirit. Yeah, Ducci.
I just want to note, I've been house hunting and condo hunting, sir, and I've noticed a new trend in bamboo floors. Is that a good thing?
Right.
It would be then done what they did to us just a few short years ago over in Pearl Harbor.
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, it would have been fine. Bring that up. Lost a lot of men over there.
I know.
Let me tell you something about a bamboo floor and why Burcham, not a big fan of it. You ever see... good buddy impaled in bamboo.
Not a buddy, sir.
You want to see that on your floor? You sure? You've only seen pictures. Well, I've seen it.
I've been there.
I've seen a lot of buddies dying in a Burmese tiger trap. Bamboo. with elephant fecal matter
That's
right.
So you die of infection even if the spike didn't kill you.
I thought it was for dying of humiliation.
No, sir.
They got stabbed with some bamboo with some poop on it. Jesus, is his face red. Boy, are his toes
the
black.
The rest of them.
Yeah. Now he's dead. Lost a lot of men over there.
Yeah.
DiGiacomo. Escarza.
Right.
Hernandez.
Yeah.
DiGiacomo. Not related.
No, two different.
Two different guys named DiGiacomo. Vince and Randy DiGiacomo. Not related.
Right.
Two young bloods both played for the Rams at the same time. Jack and Jim. One was a linebacker. The other was an end. Not related.
Wow. Right.
Two DiGiacomos. Same platoon. Whole platoon went into the same Burmese tiger trap.
Whole platoon.
Sharpened bamboo sticks. I stood it. I put cones around it. I said, no! But they just kept piling in.
I'm terribly sorry about the bamboo floor.
A lot of painful memories.
Bringing back a lot of painful memories. On the other hand, had a dog that was killed by an oak tree.
Really?
Perhaps I should have had him buckled in. The point is, there's almost no flooring I can go with that doesn't remind me of something painful. But you go down to the IKEA.
Yeah.
The IKEA.
I'm over 50. I have to pronounce everything a different way.
That's fair.
You understand?
Yes, ma'am, sir.
Yeah.
You know how your folks can't say Seinfeld, they have to say Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right. Once you hit 50, I think you just do it to piss off everyone around you, but you have to pronounce everything new a different way, even though you've heard IKEA several thousand times. You have to still call it IKEA.
Mr. Virgil, you're fading his ad.
What's going on? I'm digressing. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Go down to the IKEA. Get yourself that floor, put together the mallet, and let it float, baby. Don't glue it down. It's got to live. It's alive. Let it breathe. Brandon?
Yeah, what's going on? Whoa.
Kind of name is Brandon for a boy.
But he's got hardwood
floors,
sir.
Does that seem too feminine?
No guy in my platoon named Brandon.
Not anymore.
We had guys named Snake.
Right.
Jake.
A couple
Clutch,
of guys who actually were branded.
Duke. Yeah, no Brandons. We had no Codys either.
Yeah.
No Codys. You know, but you don't win a war with a bunch of guys named Cody and Brandon.
It's a popular name. I imagine you have a lot of students at Louis Pasteur with this name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Codys
Brandon's, Codys. That's a good name if, you know, someone on the other end of the glory hole is getting tired and you need a new man to step in. But it's no way to win a war.
Yes, sir.
You ever hear that story? I was pinned down by enemy fire, so Cody and Brandon stood up.
Rarely.
You never hear that story. Yeah. Then a grenade flew into the foxhole, so Cody dove on it.
Right.
No such luck.
No.
Cody, I mean Brandon, or who cares? What's your problem?
Brandon?
I'm going to combine the two names, Brody.
Hey, Brody.
Brody's a badass name, though, sir.
It is weird that when you combine Cody and Brandon, you get a badass name. It's like you taking a wine cooler and an umbrella drink, putting it into a blender, and having Everclear come out of it. How does that work?
I know.
No.
It's weird.
All right, Brandon, what do you need? Hey, Brandon, why don't you try to combine yourself with a dude named Cody and see what comes out later this afternoon?
I've got guesses.
I got my money on semen.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Brando.
I got low hot water pressure on only half the house.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Which half is it?
The left half.
Mm-hmm. Is that my left when I'm facing the house, or your left when you're in the house facing me?
Bathrooms on that side of the house.
Low water pressure, huh?
Just hot water, though.
Mm, just the hot water. You got old pipes? You got them copper pipes in there?
I believe so.
You believe so?
Uh-oh.
That's not the same as knowing so. T had her place redone with the copper piping.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, now she's having her pipes blown out by another dude. Bigger mess. Don't take as long, though. Hey, Brandon, if you got copper pipes in there, and I'm not so sure that you do, I'd say you check into that first. The second thing it can be, shower head. Nothing better. When's the last time you pulled that shower head off?
I took the shower head off and the aerator.
Me, it was 1971. Yeah. What's that?
I took the shower head off and the aerator on the sink, and still the water pressure.
Still low water pressure. A lot of people don't know that when the water's trickling out, sometimes just debris that gathered up in the shower head, little bits of rust and whatnot gathered up in there, and that's what's slowing it down. But if you took it off, then it's either the pipes or it could be the pressure regulator. There is a pressure regulator from the street. The street will be pumped in at 110 pounds per square inch in a lot of municipalities, you got to lower it to 70 or 80. Otherwise, it'll burst your pipes. But that doesn't explain why it's just on the hot side. I would check into the water heater, Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah, what's up, Mr. Burson?
You got one of them tankless water heaters?
No, we got a tank. It's gas. But the thing is, the hot water pressure upstairs.
Not interested. Maybe time to step up to the tankless. Tankless doesn't sit there and boil 30 gallons of water while you're on vacation. It heats the water as necessary. Hence, tankless water heater.
Don't mean to waste any of your collective caller's time, sir. But so that's a real good idea, the tankless water heater?
I think it's the wave of the future. You get a little rebate from the electric company or the gas company. They're coming down in prices. You can get them at the Home Depot now. It used to be a special order item. Now you can pick it up for $200-$300 at the Home Depot. Easy to install. And again, a water heater is a pot that sits on your stove, except for it has 30 gallons and it's always boiling.
Right, but I think of a tankless heater as something's going to run out of hot water halfway through my shower, sir.
Untrue, Ducci. Now back to the corral.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. Weird smell coming out of bathroom.
No. Move the corpse.
Let's install recycle roll. All right, let's talk to Sean. Sean?
Yeah.
Let's pick it up. We got a dime holding up a dollar, son.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your buddy Corolla's crowning achievement, the recycle roll.
That's right. That's what he'll be remembered for. Sure, he freed the slaves, but this is what they'll remember him for.
Yeah, and you do feel he's obviously a matinee idol as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, matinee idol, good looks. He's half a fagline, that's what I heard. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Burcham.
Hung like a black rhino.
Now, have you installed one of these recyclerolas, Mr. Burcham?
No, I have not. I don't believe in recycling.
Oh. Really? Why not?
Not a big fan of the planet.
Right.
Mother Earth?
Yeah.
I had a problem with my mom.
Uh-oh.
Mother don't mean a good thing to Burcham.
Right.
Know what I'm saying?
What'd she do? It's okay.
I haven't gone here in a while.
I think it's a safe place.
She took to drinking.
Oh.
I was what they called an ether baby. It was a different time.
Yeah.
Ether baby?
Yeah, his mom.
They gave her ether to kill the pain.
Oh, it's just sad.
Some say it killed some brain cells.
Oh, no.
A strong woman. Had to be. Had 9 kids. First 5 of them she had standing up.
Oh. Were you the baby, Mr. Burcham?
I was running to the litter. Most of siblings died during childbirth. Well, actually, they're in their teens, but she still counts as childbirth.
Sure.
She killed them with a mop handle. Didn't prosecute women back then. It was a different time.
You're a large man, though, to be considered the runt of the litter. Is maybe that what?
Like carb loaded.
Yeah.
Something I learned in NAM. She gave me my first cigarette on my 9th birthday. Gave my first shot of grain alcohol on my 5th birthday. She's gone, but I love that woman.
I didn't even know her, but I love her.
Made her earn myself. Threw it on a wheel. Where were we?
We were talking about Mother Earth and recycling, obviously.
Yeah, not a fan of recycling.
Right.
So what is it now? What are we talking about? Recycle roller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to go out and install one?
I want to know how to flash it.
You want to flash how? You want to flash out the...
I want to stop the rats from coming in. I want to make sure that, you know, peel it off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, the recycler roll is a chute to the outside of the house. It's just go ahead and take a 4-inch piece of ABS or PVC pipe. PVC is the white plastic. ABS is the black plastic. I like the black plastic better. Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Looks better in the sun, yeah.
If you know that guy Brandon,
the light.
You give him a call about the chute to the outside. He can probably help you.
4-inch wide. It'll take a soda bottle. It'll take a beer bottle. It'll take a wine bottle, if that's your thing. And just go ahead and put a flap of plastic on the outside. It's really just a chute. You need something so the wind don't blow in and so the rats don't get in. I say just a thick milled piece of plastic. Hang it. I should say rubber. Hang it off there. If you want, you can do a little metal flap door, the hinge on. It's literally just something like a flap. Sort of like them... mud flaps. You ever get behind them diesel trucks?
Yeah.
And they got them big old rubber mud flaps hanging off there. And then they got them chrome chicks from the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good looking.
How come the rats don't crawl up the chute?
I got to tell you something. Hold on there, yeah. Jewess.
Okay.
Never interrupt a Gentile when he's on a roll.
I'm very sorry.
Did your rabbi ever tell you that?
He did.
Back on your cabots over there near the IKEA. Yeah. Where's going on? Hey, they got an IKEA on the kibbutz. What's going on over there?
I'm sorry for interrupting you. You were saying?
You go spin your dreidel for a moment. Let the men wrap up when it comes to the home improvement talk. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
I got to say, kids, before there was porn, all we had was the hot profile of the busty chicks on the mud flats. Hell, when I felt the hankering and, you know, Mrs. Burcham wasn't in the mood, when is she ever? Ever since the Oshkin Slaughter set in, she says she can't perform anymore. So what the hell's your knee got to do with the sex act? She said, quiet and hit the road. That was, we didn't have computers back in the day. We couldn't just go look up the German porn on the internet. I had to hit the road.
Would you have to follow the mud flap?
No, I had to keep driving until I found a truck with mud flaps. Made myself a nice bib of prawny and I went to work. That's why. That's right. Did it quietly on the road like a thief in the night. Not saying what he was stealing, but a thief. All right, you can talk again, Jules. What do you got?
I was inquiring as to whether the rats can crawl up the PVC or ABS or whatever it is. Shoot.
What's that have to do with the garment district?
I think she's asking about Richard Gere, sir.
The guy was concerned about
is
rats.
Is that all you people are interested in? Garments?
Well, in caricatures, they draw us as rats.
What do they call that? Schmartas? Schmaza?
Schmata?
Schmata?
Schmata.
But you guys got real words for stuff? You know, we got clothes.
Right.
We call it clothes.
Well, we do. They're Yiddish words.
Hoosh.
Yiddish.
Knock it off. No wonder the blacks hate you.
Not all of them hate us.
Right.
Not
Mr.
Sammy
Burcham,
Dugan.
Can I ask
there's
you?
One guy. We just haven't found him yet. Yeah.
Mr. Burcham.
Yeah, Dave. Sammy Davis and Rod Carew. They're only two blacks that don't hate Jews. Yeah.
And they may a little. You've shared a lot with us about your mother and some deeply personal things. And
don't
Mrs. Burcham.
Don't go there.
Is there any way you would ever tell us your first name?
I got to tell you something.
How dare you?
Both together, Burcham. When you teach remedial wood at Louis Pasteur Middle School in Monrovia, you know what it's like when the students find out you have a name? Let me explain something. It's called a slippery slope.
Yeah.
When students find out your first name, then they start calling you by that first name. You understand?
Yeah.
When they start calling you by your first name, then you become a human being.
Yes, sir.
You're no longer Mr. Burcham Woodshop Teacher. You're Buddy Mike, Steve, Frank, or Bob. You understand me? That's one step away from complete disobedience. It's chaos that's ringing in that classroom. I keep order now because I do it with an iron fist and a velvet glove. Board Op Bill rented that, by the way, last weekend. Hold on.
A whole series?
Stalin meets Michael Jackson.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let on that you're a real human being.
One of those snot-nosed little 13-year-old bisexuals found out my first name, then that's all they'd call me the next day at class, and I can't have that. I don't need anarchy breaking out in my classroom.
I understand.
And they all have learning disorders and are ADD already. Listen, I got a little something. It's not, you may call it Ritalin. I call it a paddle.
Yeah.
It's drilled out. It's got my initials in it. That was our riddle. That was our Ritalin.
Helps you focus.
We take pills. Yeah, you couldn't focus back in the day. They didn't give you a goddamn pill. They gave you a goddamn paddle. That got your attention goddamn quick. You understand?
Yeah.
Magically, you're razor focused like a laser beam the next day. And all you had to do is take that paddle out and start spinning around like a cop with his nightstick on the beat. Oh, they understood it. You know why they call it the beat?
Why?
They used the stick to beat black people. That's where it got its name, the beat. Walking the beat. You understand?
Yeah.
Now go get me a diamond. All right, we need to take a break. I'm tired of all you.
That was Mr. Burcham, woodshop teacher, veteran, American.
Well.
Mr. Burcham, he doesn't like Jews or black people or kids.
I think he doesn't understand them. I think that's all.
Yeah. He's not used to.
He's set in his ways.
Yeah.
He's set in his way.
It's like you have to excuse your grandparents sometimes for saying something from the old days that is not acceptable anymore. I think that's the thing with Bertram. And I think, to be honest, I don't mean to go deep on this because he kind of scares me a little bit. Hence the sir jumps out of my mouth before I have the time that cool in front of you or anything. But I just think he's kind of wearing a mask. I thought when he started to go about his mom, that's more his nature, and he hides
it. He did get pretty sensitive.
A rare look inside the secret inner world of Mr. Bertram.
And really enough looking inside Bertram for me.
Yes, indeed. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Let's see. We've got my buddy Ray waiting in the wings. We decided him coming in telling old stories of the old days when we used to roll around from, known Ray from the fourth grade on. And the real question is not if we can remember any good stories to tell you all. It's which ones.
Right.
Ray, we all had those friends who would hit you with a water balloon or give you Melvin, what you kids now know as a wedgie. The guys you called the madman, the out-of-control guy, the guy that chugged a beer and then broke some wind. Ray was that guy, but you got to put three zeros behind it.
Right.
None of these stories are embellished. As a matter of fact, I water them down sometimes so they don't seem as gross or as homoerotic. All right. He'll be in with a news story and a little something we call a Ray enactment next.
When it comes to feces, Adam's pal Ray's the best. Loves poop, flings poop. Loves poop, flings poop. Drew his duke on Adam. Yeah, Ray's an ape. Yeah, Ray's an ape.
Yeah.
Yes, Ray's an ape.
Ray and I just sifting through the wreckage of our past, trying to figure out what we could talk about on the radio. People judge. I mentioned once when I was harping on the cops not having enough manpower that they had plenty of manpower to go to Ray's mom's apartment and get his naked ass out of bed and arrest him.
What'd you do?
For warrants. But anyways, I thought it's really the end of an entire story that I've touched on before, which is my two best buddies were, one of them was cheating with the other one's girlfriend, and no one knew what to do because they were both the two scariest guys around. That's Ray and my buddy Chris. And
it was real comfortable.
Chris and the gal had been going out for many years, and Ray decided to step in at a certain point.
I think Chris took a virginity, too.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a bond. But Ray,
I took her other virginity.
Ray decided to step in.
Oh, Ray.
Ray decided
to... Are you being funny or did you?
I'm being that.
Yeah.
No, true. Okay.
Ray. Ray decided to step in and steal her away from my buddy Chris, although Chris found out, Chris is one of these guys. He's a mild-mannered guy, but once he got angry, he had the strength of 10.
Yeah, right? He had the Jekyll and Hyde thing going.
He was a very scary guy. I did not want to get him mad. And he didn't want him to find out. And Ray, we're playing fast and loose. Yes, Ray?
I didn't tell him. I don't know who did, even.
You were caught, though, at the party.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah.
Well, Todd caught Carrie and I mean, Jesus.
You're such an idiot, Ray.
Todd worked out a deal where he gets 20 seconds worth of makeout time.
Right. I've told the story before. It sounds like something from a movie.
Yeah.
Our buddy walks in, sees Ray making out with this girl, knowing it's our other friend's girlfriend, and says, "Oh my God, I'm going to tell." And Ray says, "Don't tell." And he says, "All right, let me make out with her."
So how did this guy broker the deal of 20 seconds?
Was that a negotiation? Yeah, there was. How about a minute? No way, Todd. That's way too long. All right, 20 seconds. And he went for it.
So, like, just French kissing for 20 seconds?
Yeah, but he was a slob. You know, Todd, please.
Did you watch this go on?
I have right in front of me. I kind of got aroused, too.
Yeah, I see that.
So he's drunk. Later on that night, what happens?
Well, later on, Todd and I, we weren't getting along too well after that. I was kind of hurt. So I had told him that he killed his cat because his cat perished and died in the dish rack. And I accused him of punching his cat, and he goes, "Ray, I did not kill my cat. You can look at the autopsy report." I go, "I don't care what it says, Todd. You killed
this
cat."
This guy took in stray pets into his condominium, which smelled like a cat's box.
And a dog.
And a dog, and then would get drunk, put a can of dog food in the fireplace, and then shoot at it with a .22 rifle, saying,
"By the way,
he was killing
gas supplied."
Yeah, there was a gas line in it, saying he was killing. He's going to kill food for his dog, in other words. Yeah, it was kind of out of. He was a nice guy, but he got drunk. Look out.
Bright, too.
Bright guy, but again, when he got drunk, look out. So I guess he got drunk, and what happened?
Well, so he threatened me. I threatened him. He goes, "Let's go outside." So before we head through the double door, we were in Orange County somewhere partying. Beautiful home.
You were at Gad's
friend's
house.
Somebody. That was a mistake.
Somebody had a big house. Somebody's parents had a big house.
And they were
just dumb enough to leave town, and everyone threw a party at their house. I was on Mount Pinos camping with the Wheeze that night.
You were there, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. I said,
"I wish I knew how to quit you."
Mount Pinos.
Everybody in this room looked at each other waiting for that.
No, they said Chris and Gad and Ray and Todd are all heading over to Gad's friends, whatever, to get liquored up with a whole bunch of other people. And I said,
Trouble.
I said, "This is nothing but trouble." I said, "Wheeze, gas up the Bronco. We're going to Mount Pinos." So we went and camped. And then when we came back and sifted through the carnage, we felt total vindication.
Was that the same camping trip that that certain someone went that was making out with you?
No.
I'm sorry about that. What is?
What's happening tonight like this?
This is what you woke me up for.
Yeah. Really? There was this girl who basically had sex with everybody.
Does Annette Lay know about this, Earl Gay?
I can speak freely because nothing happened. She had sex with everybody but me. She had a crush on me. You know when you go camping, you get supercharged sexually? I swear to God, you go camping with someone, I don't know if it's the convening with nature
it's
the fact that you're just drinking cheap beer and, you know, putting yourself into a tent, but
all the above.
There's something going on.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I understand why these half these Cub Scout counselors are getting it on with the kids, you know. They really get fired up. I cannot blame them. There was a chick who had sex with everybody.
But you, because she liked you.
But me.
I've had that happen. And, why are you boning all my friends?
What do you mean? That's happened to Adam like 8 times.
They like everybody and they're whores, but they won't bone you because they like you.
We're all fired up and in the back of some Don's dad's Bronco or something. And then Ray piled in and Ray wouldn't leave.
It was cold.
And Ray was like, "I need some," and then he could give you some, and then I'll leave. And she's like, "No, Ray, you make me sick." And he's like, "Well, then I'm just going to sit here."
Traffic time. It's traffic time. Damn it,
Ray.
Yeah, I'm not cool enough for my own jingle,
doing the story
traffic
justice.
Time.
It was, we were
all
camping.
Right.
I was definitely getting laid, and Ray refused.
The problem.
It was 30 degrees outside, and Ray would not leave the Bronco.
There was also a truth there involved where she had run around naked. Completely blocking the ramp. Avoid that seat.
Before
also,
Snohomish
County, State Route 530 eastbound at 59th Avenue.
That girl and the other girl
that you partially blocked the roadway
Military Road
in both directions.
Let's,
it's closed due to an accident.
That girl. Let's get back
on the side street.
I'm not here.
Now, it is time to qualify some of you for Endelowski trip number 27. Sending you and a buddy up to Montreal to go check out Tegan and Sarah live in concert. That would be a nice little jaunt, wouldn't it?
Get out of the Man, this is the time.
9, 10, and 11. You will qualify today, my lovely friends.
Me and Don
friends.
Took his young cousins down there, and I had like 103 temperature
callers,
and never stopped
9, 10,
vomiting
11.
all the way up Mount Pinos. So this was this time. But you guys were in Orange County fighting.
Callers,
what
9, 10, 11. Today is your day.
So we were walking out
calendar
the front door,
coming
and
up
Todd's
in a bit.
Talked about Danny Sides, actually.
Continuing next on 107.7, The End.
But a scrapper like Bonaducci.
Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't fare well. So he attacked me from behind and bit my leg. That's what he did. And then everybody piled on me while he was biting my leg, drew blood.
Yeah, then, you can see his teeth marks in Ray's calf or, you know, upper ankle. Yeah.
And, of course, everybody was holding me down, and Todd was running around like a banshee screaming, get two knives. And Todd runs up to me and kicks me in the head. And I go, see, it's not me. It's him. Mm-hmm. So they let me up, and I went after Todd. And I threw him in a planter, and I dislocated his shoulder and hurt him pretty badly. And that's what happened. And then Todd left to the No, he didn't go in the ambulance. He left in a car with a bunch of other guys and went to the hospital.
Right.
And we didn't speak for three whole days.
I remember.
Yeah. It's tough back then. Yeah. When you're 20, you don't talk for 3 days.
That's a lifetime. Yeah.
That's kind of adorable.
And I still love Todd.
I remember that when I came back from Mount Pinos. It was like, hey, what happened? Well, Todd bit Ray, drew blood, Ray threw him in a planter, dislocated his shoulder, and the house is destroyed. And I thought, yep, that's what I knew was going
to
happen.
I forget how much restitution we had to pay, but we did have to fix some things. Later, we weren't that talented either.
Later on, Ray, you owe me. You not only owe me for the Rams beanie you defecated in many years ago, but the same girl Ray was in love with, we didn't know it. We just thought they were friendly. She relocates up north. She's going to the Bay Area. You talk me and a couple other guys into renting some big cube truck and moving her ass out there. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Now, look at you.
It's a road trip with your buddies. Come on, that's a good time.
You ever examine...
Wasn't taking advantage of
you. Ever examine this? You ever examine events that went on in your life and... From a different perspective now, you know a lot more, you're an adult, what have you, and you think, what went on? Let me tell you exactly what went on.
It's come full circle, though. Now you don't even answer the phone.
But listen, that's because I have caller ID, and I see the guy who bought your cell phone for his name come up on it. And when I see...
Moving along.
Drew, what's his name?
Oh, who cares?
Drew what? Morgan. Just for Morgan. When I see the name Drew Morgan, I know. Oh, it's one of my friends. You see, when you're from the Valley, Ray Oldhoffer calls. You don't see Ray Oldhoffer's name on there. Ray Oldhoffer doesn't own a credit card at age 43.
You see, hold on.
You see Drew Morgan. Well, then it'll take the Bank of Hoban's credit cards, Ray.
Drew Morgan.
My mom got me
the guy. The guy was stupid enough to buy Ray a phone with his credit card.
No. He's the guy I used to do work for. Give me back my credit card. Oh, yeah, it says my name on it.
All right, look. Here, let me just dig on this. All right. Ray, you tell me.
If you're lying,
you tell me
or
if
not?
I'm exaggerating at all.
All right.
Ray's gal is relocating up to San Francisco area.
Beautiful area.
Okay. She's also bringing her roommate.
Yes.
Her roommate, colossal C. C plus.
Wow. Maybe even, triple C.
Yeah, I don't say that often. I don't bust out the C word that often. But if I was to give her a grade, C plus. Yeah. Now, I've never met the woman before. She's 22. She's relocating with her roommate, Ray's friend, to the Bay Area. She lives in Encino. She puts the C in Encino. And so here's me and the aforementioned Umgad. And another dude just pulling up in our big old U-Haul, big old truck. And we pull into her house, and we're like, hey, we're Bray's buddies. We told him we'd help her out. We're going to help you move. We're going to move out. She's a bitch from the word go.
She's getting free movers.
She's riding us like, hey, be careful with that bed. Hey, watch it there, fellas. Watch it. That's expensive. And we're like, God damn. All right. So we load up the truck, and we're all just young and stupid, and who cares? It's a road trip. I think we had a 12-pack or something. We got pulled over, by the way, and the officer did count the cans on the cab of the truck of the U-Haul.
And did let us go.
It's what you call a different time.
We load up
the whole thing. It was funny because he said, what do you guys, been drinking? And we're like, we got a 6-pack between the three of us. And he's like, okay. Except for there's 9 cans rolling around the floor.
Those were left over.
Probably could have done the 6-pack math on that one. But we drove her ass for 8 hours up the highway in a U-Haul truck, got pulled over, got to the place, moved the crap to the second floor of the apartment, up the staircase, through the dining hall. That night, went out to dinner. She didn't pay.
No.
She did not buy us dinner. did not buy dinner the three strangers she's ever met in her life who jumped in a rental truck, schlepped all her crap from her upstairs bedroom in the middle of summer, in the middle of the valley, in the middle of 106 degrees, down the long driveway, carefully loaded into the truck, drove for 8 hours, drove to that C's B pad in Conejo or Vallejo or whatever ho out there right on the outskirts of San Francisco, moved all the crap out, went to a goddamn restaurant that night, and when the check came around, it was like, well, it's $63.52. Let's see, I guess about with tip, everyone $15 or $50. Everyone reached for their wallets. Did not pay, never met her before. Then did not so much as shake our hand or say thank you very much. Just the next day, we all crashed out on the floor. The next day, we got back into the U-Haul van and drove back. She did not say, here's $20 for your trouble, and did not thank us.
But I got laid covertly.
Yeah, Ray got laid, and we did all that. And at the time, you're just 21, you're kind of stupid and whatever. When you go back and look at this stuff in life, you're like, what kind of human being was this? I would have been following me around going, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you want a soda? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you need a handy? Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right, for a local move.
Right. Ray, what was that?
I'm sorry. What do you want me to say? Okay.
Jesus Christ. Well, Ray got
I'll do some work at your house for free.
Ray got two tickets on the way home.
Two? Yes. No, I got tickets because I went up again, and I got two tickets on the way up for speeding.
Right. And you never took care of them?
Yeah, and I was living with my mom at the time, and she...
Apartment in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Knock on the door.
Knock on the door. Two
marshals.
A few
months later.
A couple months later.
What are we talking about? Noon?
Yeah. Noon, I was sleeping.
Sure.
And I sleep in the buff. And my mom goes, your friends are here to help you paint. So I went to the door. I go, who are you? And they go, are you Ray Oldhoffer? And I go, yeah. And I go, you're under arrest. I go, what for? And then they told me. And I go, well, can I get dressed? He goes, absolutely, because I had a towel around me. So I go into my bedroom, go to close the door. He kicks the door open. Go to close the door again. He kicks the door open.
Yeah, and you I mean put your it mom's together. Bedroom, by the
no,
way.
No, it was my own. I had my own bedroom. Thanks.
You're 24.
Maybe even older.
Maybe older, and you're living in your mom's crappy apartment in North Hollywood. That's
so anyway,
your mom's
they
bedroom.
Thought I was going to jump through the window and escape, and I put it together. I go, listen, I'll come with you. Don't worry about it.
So you got dressed.
Got dressed.
Where do they take you? Aren't they from up north?
They're from up north, but they take you, like, to a sheriff facility. So they handcuff you, do all that kind of stuff. And they were both, like, 5'6". They were both tiny guys, and they thought I was going to do something. So they had to handcuff you and all that kind of stuff. And then got in the squad car, went to jail.
Who bailed you out? Because I didn't.
That's
oh. Kind of Saul. He's dead, but he made that noise.
Apparently it's not easy
Chewbacca.
Being clean.
I should have known. I think, Ray, you may have helped bail me out when I got arrested for traffic-related charges.
Actually, I went to Saul. I got you out. Of course I did.
All good friends have done. I put up my house to get a buddy out of jail.
Oh, really?
When I was 16, yeah.
This must not have been that much,
How many
though.
Times have you been arrested?
I've only been arrested one time.
No, it was only a few grand. I just didn't have it. So I put up my house to the bondsman knowing his dad would pay him.
Yeah, mine was only like 600 something bucks.
Yeah, and 85, that's a lot.
I got arrested because I was riding a motorcycle to Hoffman Travel on Ventura.
That Honda 440 or something?
Yeah, 400.
Red tank.
I told my mom at dinner the night before, hey, man, I got warrants. I'm scared to drive to work. I'm scared to get arrested. You know, there's cops all over that Ventura Boulevard. And she said, oh, take Lakeside Street. Runs right along Ventura Boulevard. No cops. I said, thanks, Ma Barker.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised she didn't tell you to take the bus.
I'll take that as a tip. Yeah.
How should I know?
I hopped on my bike and took Lakeview the next morning. Got arrested.
How would I know
the
that?
Next morning! Not Tuesday,
she
you understand.
She's prophesizing. It's all right.
I had the conversation Sunday night at dinner, and Monday at 8:30 in the morning was arrested. We did not make it 24 hours before I was arrested on her suggested street. Good times. All right, Mom. Ray. We need to take ourselves a break. We can all look back and laugh because we're alive. Crank Yankers. We, Saul. Or Saul.
5'11", 350.
We'll take ourselves a break. We got some, good Crank Yankers, coming up for you. We got some Elmer. We got some, Bobby Fletcher wants to go to the Peace Corps. Is he belching in this one? This is the straight Bobby, and I think we'll do a Birch one next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Call 866-901-ADAM. If you're lucky, you might get special guest phone screener.
You're clogging up the line!
The deaf frat guy.
Hello, you are on the air. Hello, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you are on the air.
I'm on the air.
Oh, no, I'm screening your call.
Yes, I wanted to know if, did Adam know who Kuhlhauser's prom date was?
No, who was it?
Tipper Gore.
You gotta be effing kidding me, bro.
No. I've heard that for years and years and years.
All right, this is good. Let me try to get in with them.
Okay.
Hold on. What call number are you?
I have no idea.
Hell yeah, hold on.
866-901-ADAM. Good luck getting through to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have some crank anchors to play. And quickly, just quickly. Ian?
Yeah?
You're in love with Bald Brian?
Bald Brian and I have like the exact same life. Not exactly the same, but a lot of parallels.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like?
Yeah, he grew up like three towns over from me, went to rival high school, same college, fraternity next door down the street. Mm-hmm. We pulled like same of the four jobs. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But then Ian went ahead and broke the bond by making more than $6 an hour.
Is that right, Ian?
Yeah, I'm making about $20 an hour.
Oh, well, now you can't hang anymore.
What do you do for a living, Ian?
I'm a sales rep for Philip Morris.
Mmm, good times. Mm. Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, what the hell, why not?
Why not? All right, you want to say hi to Bald Brian?
Absolutely.
Just shout it out. He doesn't need to talk. Good enough.
You're losing right. Your hair?
Crank Yankers, that's what we're talking about. We back on MTV2 Friday nights, 10 o'clock. We got a Bertram call. We got a Bobby Fletcher call. We will start off with the Bobby Fletcher call. I believe this is Jim Florentine does Bobby Fletcher. He wants to join the Peace Corps.
Good morning, Peace Corps. B- was speaking.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, this is Bobby Fletcher.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What can I do for you?
I want to join the Peace Corps.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me, you want information, or would you like to talk to a recruiter?
Can you just give me some information real quick, because I got to run out.
Okay.
What I got to do, and where I got to go, and all that stuff.
Okay, where you got to go is determined after you fill out your application, and Washington decides on that. According to your background, your education,
Well, I want to go somewhere warm, you know?
Well, you
I got
can,
my suntan lotion ready to go, you know, so I don't want to go nowhere cold.
Well, that you can give them a preference, but they make the ultimate decision.
Yeah, but I'm they're not going to send me to Alaska if I'm doing this, you know, charity work. I want a suntan, you know. I think that's fair.
I have no idea. No idea.
They're not going to send me to Somalia, are they?
I don't know.
I'll be the only one over there with a flat stomach. Just put down on my application, I don't want to go somewhere where ugly girls are. Seriously. You know what I mean? With my American accent, I'm bound to nail some Greek chick or something.
Oh, Lord.
Look, once I get there, I'm going to hang for like a week, and then I'm on my own.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you a brochure.
What do we got to do to help these people out? What do we do, pass out condoms or something like that?
No. No, you don't do
what
that.
Do we got to do?
According to your education and training, your, that's what they'll do.
They gotta send me somewhere warm.
Okay, well, you'll have to talk to your recruiter. Hold on a moment.
This is
Hey, this is Bobby Fletcher.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm looking to join the Peace Corps. I'm trying to get some information.
What kind of information would you like?
I just want to go somewhere where it's warm.
Well, we can't guarantee that. We can offer you an opportunity on the application to state a regional preference, and we could try to work toward that preference.
Nah, that's not going to work.
Okay.
What kind of places, what are my odds? I want to go to Hawaii, Tahiti, or Acapulco would be fine.
We don't serve any of those locations.
Just send me to south of France. That's fine.
We don't go to south of France.
Great.
We serve in all developing countries.
Cancun?
No, Cancun, we do not serve in Mexico.
Well, it's a developing country.
It is, you're right. We don't serve there. But all the countries that we serve in are developing countries.
How do you get people to join? If you who wants to go over to friggin'... How about Tampa? So I got some friends.
Tampa's actually in the United States, more than in other countries.
Yeah, I know it's in the United States. So where do I go?
Would you like me to continue to name the 70 countries?
Yeah.
Okay. Niger, Senegal, South Africa... Tanzania, the Gambia.
That's it?
Yes, that's it.
That didn't sound like 70.
Perhaps I got distracted.
Okay. All right. We can start from the top then.
No, I'll just send you some information. Why don't you just...
God.
I asked Mike, is it a belching call? And he said no, but I guess it's kind of half...
Yeah.
Half... You see, that's a... Bobby, now the thing about Florentine, you have to sit in the room. We sat in a small studio in Nevada, shockingly enough. When he does the belching, he does the belching in real time.
Yeah.
You get him a Coke, and he does the belching. It doesn't get added on. We don't record the belch and then hit the playback of the belch. He belches
that
in real time.
And
every belch conversation he has, you can sort of hear him kind of go... You can hear him sucking in a little while the person's talking, and then he lets it fly. What a genius.
Yeah.
Who would have thought of belching on the phone?
It's yes. True, and he was in here doing the belching in real time. He's actually kind of cute.
Oh, yeah, we have Florentine
usually.
Versus Dag. Dag would do his vomit in real time when we did Crank Anchors, too.
Oh, God.
Let's hear. I think at some point we had the belch versus vomit.
You say, I say, you say, and I say. Let's call the whole thing off. I like, and you like, and I like. Let's call the whole thing off.
Wow,
that was special.
This elite fraternity known as Morning Radio.
Yeah.
So proud to be a part of it.
Yeah.
We got one more crank anchor for you. This is one I don't think we've ever played this one before. This is Bertram call. Bertram has a morbidly obese wife, and I think she's got a little ant infestation problem. He's calling, I believe, if memory serves, probably calling the exterminator. Well, here's how it went.
Danny, Danny speaking.
Hi, my name's Bertram. What's your name?
Danny.
Danny, got a little bit of a situation here. You guys do pest control?
What kind of a problem are you having?
It's my wife. She's got ants.
Uh-huh.
She's a lot of woman.
Uh-huh.
She takes up almost the whole goddamn bedroom, to tell you the truth, Danny.
Uh-huh.
She's upward of 700 pounds, although they can't weigh her.
I would have to put out monitor traps because they don't make sprays you can spray around when people are occupying the room.
She's a tough cookie. She can take it. Yeah, we'll put a respirator on her and you can spray away.
I don't think I could go there.
I don't see them getting off the bed for the trap.
Well, they will. I've been doing this for a lot of years, so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, I've been sleeping next to this blob for a lot of years, so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Really, 700-pound anthill over there.
Right.
I think that colonized her. So that's why I'm saying I think the traps around the room probably aren't going to do it.
No, they'll take it back to the queen.
If we could find the queen, I think we could eliminate the problem.
Right.
Oh, well, maybe you should come by and we'll do a little probing. Nothing inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
Not getting too close to the sticky trap.
Okay.
I'll lift up the fold. You go in after the queen.
Okay.
Oh, you're laughing now, but you ain't going to be laughing when you go in there.
Can't be that bad.
Well, you know what a room smells like when a person hasn't left it in 11 years?
That's ass on death, my friend.
Oh, I've been in worse.
Tell me what was worse than this.
Oh, my wife, her brother passed away. They didn't find him for like 3 weeks later out in the mobile home out in Capoose.
Saw a lot of death and NAMM, Danny. Tell you what, I know what it smells like. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so, lost a lot of good guys over there. Espinoza, Johnson, Rogers, Hammerstein, Calvin, Hobbs, Simon, Garfunkel, Owens. Left them all behind. Actually, Owens wanted to stay behind. He opened a little grocery mart. Mary's got three kids. Doing pretty good.
Oh, good.
Oh, wait a minute. She's trying to move.
Is she?
Holy Christ. You guys work with Possum? Okay. I got to make another call then.
Good times. It's amazing. You talk to a guy a minute and 41 seconds into the conversation with the stranger. They're explaining to you how they had to extract the corpse of the brother-in-law that was out in a trailer for 3 weeks rotting in the desert.
That's a bad one. That's a baddie.
I like that Calvin and Hobbes and Rogers and Hammerstein didn't throw him as your non-buddies.
What were the chances he was going to get Rogers and Hammerstein?
Very slim.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. The news is what's coming up next. T, what's in it?
Illegal testicle removal and shark sex.
That's not the same story.
Yeah, right.
Because if you get in between sharks having sex,
you're likely to lose a nard.
That's right.
Thought I'd use a word back from the 70s.
I miss nards. Nards are boss. Says it right on the bumper sticker.
Don't have a cow.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with sharks and nards next.
Local news.
Are you having trouble remembering things? Well, your morning cup of coffee might just help.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
How many stories just about coffee have you heard in your lifetime about how the price has gone up, how it's gone down, how expensive it is now?
Coffee for closes only.
How it helps you stave off Alzheimer's, how it wakes you up, how it doesn't wake you up.
No, it can give you cancer. It doesn't get, raises your metabolism so you burn fat faster.
Right. Let's just shut the F up about coffee for 10 years. I think we all figured it out. It's a bean. It's a billion years old. We seem to enjoy it, and everyone seems to be staying alive. We're fine.
Good. All right.
All right. Yeah. Now, unless something happens, don't wake me up. T.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Love him or hate him, Barry Bonds is now baseball's all-time home run king. He connected for number 756 yesterday, taking the record from Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron offered up a taped message of congratulations to Barry Bonds, which they played over the stadium scoreboard. Let's take a listen to Hank Aaron congratulating Barry Bonds.
I would like to offer my congratulations to Barry Bonds on becoming baseball's career home run leader. It is a great accomplishment, which requires skill, longevity, and determination. Throughout the past century, the home run has held a special place in baseball, and I have been privileged to hold this record for 33 of those years. I move over now and offer my best wishes to Barry and his family on this historical achievement. My hope today, as it was on that April evening in 1974, is that the achievement of this record will inspire others to chase their own dream.
Hank Aaron.
Mine is to sing.
That's
my dream. Yes, you better hope I don't follow that one. You better hope I don't follow
I
that
am.
One. I saw a statistic.
Everyone just digs the bass riff down here.
Yeah.
They don't do these kind of bass riffs anymore in songs today.
That was me singing a Green-Eyed Lady. That's right.
I like how you talk into the song.
Green-Eyed Lady, lovely lady.
It's a 20-minute karaoke song. People start dozing off about minute 11, but they're usually back up on their feet by minute 18 when I close. I got a lot of rain
Change is a karaoke singer. 1971 to 73 and a half. That's my range.
That's your area. This and Vehicle.
Both written on the same day in 1972. All right. Look, Bonds, I saw some stat that suggested that he hit almost twice as many home runs in the 5 years after he turned 38 as he did from 33 to 38 or whatever it was, 32. Most guys start to dwindle off in terms of production. If you're going to hit home runs, if you're going to do anything in sports,
right,
you usually do it about 25, maybe 30. Usually don't start peaking around 40. That's the part that makes it real suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Well, a reporter in the press conference that occurred after the game asked a question that may have been on people's minds.
Some people have suggested that this record is tainted. Is this record tainted? Do you feel at all it's tainted? And what would you say?
This record is not tainted.
At all. Period. Say twice. Like, say I'm innocent twice. It means you're innocent. That's right.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want.
Well, let me say this briefly. The pitch that connected was thrown by Washington Nationals pitcher Mike Bacsik. I was afraid I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Here he is describing the pitch.
I was trying to go down and away for a strike. I got the ball up over the middle of the plate in one of his sweet spots. And obviously he was swinging for a home run and he got it. And congratulations. I didn't really want to be a part of history as a bad part, but I'm part of history and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no one cares. And it's the only way he was going to be a part of history.
That's right.
I don't even know who won the game. If you won, it's no big deal. If you think about it, you gave up the dinger, but you guys win. If you get the win, you get the win. Yeah.
As always, the Giants lost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Sad for us Giants fans.
Now, that ball.
Yeah.
What do you do with that ball? Do you put it on eBay? Do you consult with somebody? Do you sit on it? It's never going to go down in value. On the other hand, if Alex Rodriguez beats the record, or if we think Alex Rodriguez is going to beat the record in the next few years, it is going to go down
right
in price. So you have to sell it, but the question is when. What do you nod at, Paul Bryan?
You
over
think
there?
Hank 715 is worth less now that Bonds hit this one? No way. It's worth a lot.
I guess my question is this. If you had...
Yeah.
Hank's 715
right.
And decided you were going to hang on to it.
Yeah.
I would suggest you moved it before somebody beat it. That's really my argument.
I don't know. It makes sense.
You don't know. No, you don't know. You just don't know. So shut up.
Hank Aaron did hold that record for 33 years. I wonder now how long Bonds will have the record.
Yeah, and I do wonder what happened to Hank's ball. It's still worth a ton, but is it marginally less? And then as Alex Rodriguez, if he ever breaks the record, he's moving toward it. If the ball goes down, I'm just saying, do you hang on to it for a day or a year? When do you sell that?
Right.
Obviously, you sell it.
Yeah, but when you ask, do you contact somebody? Yes, I certainly would. I'd find some sort of expert or sports attorney or something like that.
My first call is to a hooker, and I say, give me Charlie Sheen's number.
Right, there you go.
And then I sell it to him.
Well,
I don't have his number.
What about having your balls removed by someone who's not really an accredited surgeon? There's a story about that. We'll have to get to it when we come back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Balls? Removed by non-professionals.
Yeah, they're called wives.
Yeah. Well, my old partner, Dr. Drews, had been hidden in a mason jar underneath his house in Pasadena for years. His wife is not a medical professional, as far as I know.
My wife got one in the divorce. Amy's got one in the drawer right now.
My wife took one and grabbed the other, picked up a fungo bat, and yelled, get two.
Well, that instructs
hit it right
us.
Into the neighbor's yard, and then it came back to her, and she yelled round the horn.
Right, and then?
Then did that move where she threw it up and missed it intentionally so the catcher would throw it down to second base. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the story of sack removal by a non-professional next.
Hi, this is Special Ed from Grand Gangers, and you're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Yay! I like Adam.
Okay, I'm not taking him on my ride. Listen, speaking of Adam, go to adamcarolla.com. Here's what's happening. That movie Wild Hogs with Tim Allen and Martin Lawrence is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray August 14th. Well, we're going to hit some hogs. I've got my own Harley Davidson where he might lend you some. You might have your own. Anything on two wheels come with. We're going to do a ride to celebrate it. Anyway, it's the number one hit comedy, Wild Hogs, starring Tim Allen. It's going to hit the DVD on the 14th, and we're going to go for a little ride around there sometime.
T.
Yes.
Take us on a ride around the rest of the news park. Yeah. Good one, Ace Man.
62-year-old Russell Angus of St. Paul, Minnesota, took a ride on the World Wide Web, on the Internet, the information superhighway, and he went looking for some doctors. Mm-hmm. Now, you're probably thinking, why would you go online looking for doctors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went to his regular physician, and he asked to have his testicles removed.
Sure.
The doctor said no. Why? Because he had a terrible pain in his groin. This according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. All they're reporting is that this 62-year-old man had a terrible pain in his groin. Went to his doctor, wanted his testicles removed. Mm. Couldn't do it, so went online.
I wanted mine removed my senior year of high school.
Why?
Possessed.
Really?
Talking to my hand constantly.
What'd they say?
Feed me. Feed me. Oh, they should beat me.
Well, my hand was good. Well, my hand used to be good. It used to, you know, do homework, give high fives.
Right.
Oh, no.
Help old ladies.
Right.
Pretty sure I didn't let go of it until I was 27.
All of a sudden, it took up with the penis, and that's the last we saw of it. Very sad.
That is very sad.
Yeah. I got counseling. I kept them now.
Sometimes that and medication will help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a very sad story.
Hard to get him to take it, though.
I could see that.
Have to scrunch it up in some Gainsburger. Come on, boy. I got your snack.
Does it taste
good? Go ahead.
So this guy found a couple of surgeons online who agreed, well, so-called surgeons.
Right.
They agreed to remove his testicles. That's on the plus side. On the minus side, they were unlicensed surgeons. Mm.
They were going to use it by slamming a door.
Well, they...
a fishing wire and a door.
That's all you need.
On July 28th, two unlicensed surgeons came over to this man's house. They went into an empty room upstairs. They set up an operating table.
Can I ask this?
Yeah.
Aren't we all unlicensed surgeons?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Do these guys have any special skills that make them unlicensed surgeons, or they're just gods?
They anesthetized him.
Uh-huh.
And they removed his testicles.
And I can do that.
Well, you could probably do a better job, because when this guy woke up, he was bleeding profusely from his groin.
Mm-hmm.
He had to call for help. His daughter took him to the ER. He called the police, and even though he had no balls, he had the balls to refuse to tell the cops anything about these surgeons because, quote, he didn't want them to get into trouble. Cops are still looking for these surgeons, but they've put out a warning. If you are looking to have an at-home castration, quote, it is not common or usual for a licensed medical practitioner to perform surgery in the non-sterile environment of a private home.
Well, what you do is you get three quotes and you take the middle one.
Right.
You know, exactly, if you're looking for an at-home castration. You don't want to spend the most. Obviously, the cheap one, you're not going to get a quality castration.
Right.
You go with the middle one. That's great. It's great that this guy's kids. I'm sure he was a fantastic father. At least we have a leader in the clubhouse for the Definitely Not a Jew tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Definitely not a Jew.
I mean, hiring unlicensed
physicians. How much do they pay the guys?
No telling. I mean, you got to wonder what these two guys charged per gonad. But I would say hiring a couple of unlicensed surgeons is way outside the realm of even a stunt on Jew-ass.
Mm-hmm. And did they reattach, do you know? Did they find the testicles?
No telling where the testicles are. He is fine now, despite the profuse bleeding from his groin.
Mm-hmm.
So we wish him well. I don't know how he's doing mentally, but he really wanted those testicles off.
What do you mean you don't know how he's doing mentally? He's doing poorly mentally. He had his balls removed by some guys on the internet.
Another one of those great...
Smell this. When you wake up, you'll have no nards.
I assume the guy's single, because there's no way guy's old lady's going to put up with this. But it will be a nice conversation to broach when he does meet the new lady.
I have to tell you something.
They become intimate after four dates. Wow. What happened?
It's pretty slick.
Shark bite? Nope. Cancer? Maybe, but nope. Industrial ad? I found a couple of drifters on the internet. Paid them $5,000 and cut my nuts off.
With a buck knife.
Fantastic.
You mentioned sharks.
We did.
Yes. You know, at the Sea Life Aquariums in Germany, the staff has a problem. Their sharks aren't reproducing enough.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, they've used music to help
shum
set
the water
them
with juice. Get them excited.
In the past,
chew chum slick.
They've used music to help primates and pandas who weren't mating enough.
Yeah.
So they thought maybe we could play some love songs for these sharks.
You know my feelings on the Germans. A, we should bomb them again.
Right.
Right.
Everyone wants to argue with me. Go take a nice stroll through a Holocaust museum.
Yeah.
Take a good look. Take a nice look at the piles of bodies. Take a nice look at the ovens. Just take a good look around. And then when you leave the Holocaust Museum, you answer that question. You think it'd be okay just for one more bombing raid?
Dresden was enough? No.
One more bombing raid. One more. It has not been long enough, number one. Number two, I want 1,000 years to go by before the Germans can experiment with anything. Any
right.
new ideas, you guys farm out to us or the Japanese. We'll do the driving.
not that this has anything to do with another, but Gretchen, her maiden name is Gretchen Hilmer. Was that mm-hmm. like a couple letters off?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you want to bomb somewhere in Las Feliz and get me my balls
strafe,
back.
We'll strafe Feliz and then we'll go right on to Dusseldorf.
Well, the Germans did some important work with love songs and testing which ones the sharks preferred for mating.
Mm-hmm.
After several weeks of testing, this is serious.
Mm-hmm.
They found a song that would most help the sharks mate, and this is it.
This is number one.
Number one.
Mac the Knife.
German sharks respond to salt and pepper.
Really? Well, at least it's not Hasselhoff.
You'd think it would be. You want to know another song the sharks responded to?
Yeah, I'm guessing just says it just the beat reverberates through the water or something.
That sounds right.
All right.
I don't know if you can explain this one. The number two song that sharks find most sexy.
You can leave your pants on, your hat on. Yeah.
It was in 9.5 weeks, but sharks haven't seen that.
Yeah. Actually, you can leave your haddock.
You can leave your haddock.
Thank you.
And then this also made it into the top five. It's a Justin Timberlake song. I kind of hate myself for liking it, but it's kind of good.
Yeah, I kind of hate myself for liking it, too.
Rock your body.
So this gets sharks horny or pandas horny?
Sharks.
No, it's hardcore porn that gets the pandas going.
Right.
The male sharks got so excited, they did something special, a very rare mating ritual. They chased around the female sharks and bit their fins.
Good times.
Oh, that was a good time.
Rough trade.
Yes.
All right.
That's it. Can I close with one last story? We have time. Do we have to go?
We need to break. I'll tell you what. I have some more stories.
Okay.
I have some stuff I pulled off of CNN this morning.
Nice.
I got a monkey flying an airplane.
Oh, well, you can't beat that.
Guess what fabulous state it came from. And I got a couple stories I pulled from CNN.
Okay.
So we'll attach those to your last story. Want to give me a hint on your last story?
Yeah. It has to do with Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards. They're
Yay.
At it again.
Yay!
Good times. We'll take a quick break. Back with all that next.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, this morning about 5 a.m., I was watching my CNN, as I always do, trying to figure out what's going on in the world. And some stories catch my ear. I was eating my poached eggs, had my dog Molly's chin on my lap. A little bacon treat I gave did not satiate Molly. She wanted some of my eggs. It's a weird thing just being bothered while you're eating. I feel like a mother bird at my house. I got my kids always wanting to eat. My dog's always in my lap.
Man.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there eating and I'm watching CNN this morning, and this story comes on.
Well, this has to be one of the all-time great questions. Hey, pal, is that a monkey in your ponytail? Well, it's what passengers were asking one man on a flight from Florida to New York. It was a monkey. Let's take a look. There he is. The man smuggled the fist-sized primate onto the Spirit Air flight yesterday. He had the monkey cling on to the underside of his ponytail, then covered him up wearing a hat. Well, the monkey didn't want to stay, of course, on a flight like that and stuffed under the ponytail, so of course he crawled out. Passenger spotted the little guy after takeoff. Then he spent the rest of the flight sitting in his owner's lap. The monkey is now in quarantine, though, and the man was detained by authorities when the plane landed.
Yeah, I can't put your monkey under your hat there.
I love the banter.
Yeah.
I can't put the monkey under the hat there. Turn to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Look.
It's that thing you do between stories.
If you have something good to say, say it.
Right.
If not, let's just flash a picture of a missing kid. You know my policy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep
your monkey under a hat sounds like an expression you would use to teach safe sex to kids.
Yes.
Now remember, kids, keep your monkey under the hat.
Couple things. Now. First off, what a shocker. It came out of Florida.
Yep.
And when are we going to just put a fence around that place and turn it into a big prison? Really? Everyone there is either a criminal or insane or the criminally insane.
It would give Snake Bliskin another job.
Bald Brian said, Spirit Air? I thought they went out of business. I said, oh, they have, but in Florida, it's 1987.
Oh.
You don't understand. They're 20 years behind us over there. That's why guys have ponytails.
I'm still really famous there.
Oh, yeah. They're in the second season of the Partridge Family.
He had his members only jacket on at the time of his arrest.
Killing.
You go to the Florida airport and go by the newsstand, pick yourself up a Tiger Beat, and you can see a 9-year-old Bonaducci playing a bass guitar with no strings right on the cover and a heart bubble coming out of his head.
Looking at Nathan Garrett.
Yeah. What's his ideal date? Bunch of
two
coke and a tranny.
Heroin.
Yeah. Trannies, look out. Danny Single again. We should put some modern day captions by the old Tiger Beat magazine.
You know, I don't mean to correct your reporting, sir, but I was happily married during a tranny incident.
Sorry.
Right.
Sorry, kind sir. Well, anyway, the guy decided to travel with his monkey, and whether you're a retard Floridian who wants to travel with an exotic pet, or you're a rapper who hasn't gotten the news that you can't bring the 44, the Glock, onto the plane anymore, when do we start punishing the bejesus out of these people that F up everything for us? You know what I mean? The guy, what? Nine what? What? Twin Towers what? Were you telling me a plane was used as a weapon by terrorists and they have heightened security now at the place where you leave when you get on the plane?
Airport.
Yes, that place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the guy who decides it's a good idea in '07 to take a monkey, attach it to his ponytail, and walk onto an airplane, I want that guy put down, and I want them, you know how
don't
I want him
monkey.
Killed? No. Here's how I'm going to do it.
Monkeys suck. They seem like they're cool, but they suck.
Here's what I want to do, and I fantasize about this civilization. I want a town square. And I mean on every radio and TV station, televised, pumped out on the satellite. And I get the guy up there in the town square. I know it sounds a little Arnold Schwarzenegger Running Man, but I take this guy and I go, hey, everyone, what we have here is a guy from Florida. He thought, A, it'd be a good idea to have a ponytail at age 57, and B, it'd be a great idea to take his monkey with him on a flight from Florida to New York. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to need you to stand right there where those footprints are, right? Stand right there. Put your hands behind your back. All right. Now just stand there. I have an air cannon. I'm going to load the monkey into the air cannon, and then I'm going to kill him with the monkey.
Nice.
Now, anyone else have any questions? Does anyone else want to bring a monkey to an airport? Or have I gotten my message across?
Oh, so I have one question about the method of execution, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are actually going to shoot ponytailed 57-year-old with his own monkey.
He will be killed by his own monkey.
Thank you for clearing that.
I have an air cannon that has 500 pounds of pressure, and I will fire this thing out of it. It's the same one they use when they test jet airplanes. They take frozen chickens, they put them in an air cannon, and they fire them at 400 miles an hour in a jet airplane to see if the impeller blades can hold up. It's the same one they use when they do hurricane windows. They take a 2x4, they put it in an air cannon and fire. It's the same device. I'll just be putting a spider monkey into it and firing it into a guy with a ponytail from Florida. Same thing.
Monkey still being alive and screaming as it hits the guy's chest?
Yeah, nice. But once it hits the chest,
everybody's gone.
Time to get the kids out of the room.
Right.
Or switch to a different channel because it will not be pretty. And I think magically all the crazy people will get sane for that one moment. Even the nuttiest of the nut jobs will know probably not a great plan to bring the monkey on the plane.
When we when he first started this story with the Floridians and caged the whole place up, yeah. I almost said to him, hey, Adam, what are you going to do when we syndicate to Florida? And then I realized who I was talking to. And the answer is get a little meaner.
F Floridians. And Charlie Sheen. I'm sorry. We ran out of time for T's story. But look, Charlie's getting married again.
He's
He'll get married
still
again.
He's going to be a douche tomorrow.
All right. He'll get married 2 years from now. He'll get married again. And Denise Richards will still be nuts this time tomorrow, right?
Exactly.
All right. Quick break. Back to wrap up.
To join me in my paintball war, log on to AdamCarolla.com so you can brawl right alongside me and a 12-year-old girl. It's powered by War, arriving in theaters August 24th, starring Jet Li and Jason Statham.
I don't want to tell you how to start a squadron, but I know this. You need an explosives guy.
Right.
Yeah. You need a hot Asian chick who's a master of kung fu. You need a face man. That'll be my gig. I get you in the front door. You need a good second story man. You need a computer hacker. And you need a van.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right.
Actually, I stopped listening to Hot Asian Chick. I'm good. That's
what you need the van for. Yeah.
Right. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't mean to get around. On blocks. You need a place to throw down that hot Asian chick. Oh, there's the show, everybody. Going out on a high note. We will take ourselves a little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
What's John Travolta doing in your pants?